much about.
Many people have smoked marijuana. Many have seen marijuana, but very few people have ever heard marijuana.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry.
That's what she said. Ah.
Now, it's time to put the microscope on another addiction. One that lies in a deeper shroud of shame. Sex addiction. For millions of addicts worldwide, sex is just another drug. One that can lead to ruined relationships, shattered lives, and even death.
Well, sex is good, right?
Not the way Ralph does it.
I'm sorry. The naggety-nag-nag bitchy-bitch is right.
You know, he's a brother. With most brothers, you know how it is in this country. We gotta struggle, man. You know what I'm saying?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I had to contact the FBI and back.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The FBI!
Roll another one.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Doto.
Just like the other one.
Really?
This one seems to be about to quit.
You're my boy, Blue.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Well, then you're just missing the point.
Roll another one.
Like there is no warning of a big open hole.
Just like the other one.
Chicks and midgets, bam.
This one seems to be about.
Well, are you ready for the big one?
I don't have another cent.
I think pot should be legal for medicinal purposes and entertainment purposes, but that's it.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Just pass it around.
What the hell is wrong with you, black man?
And now,
this is the real action, the pot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Sure.
The trippers.
Why not? Party people, it's finally Friday, and your chance to get on the air, be part of the show at 1-800-520-1067. As always, that is our toll-free number for you to dial, get on the air, and get a prize. How's everyone doing today?
Good,
doing
thank you.
Good.
I saw my favorite license plate again for the second time.
Which one?
On a truck. It's a religious person, and I'm positive that I know what they mean, and that is God is good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not that many letters, so they have G-O-D-S. Mm-hmm. G-O-O. God's goo.
Well.
And I know that's not what they mean, but that's what it says.
It is what it says.
Just saying.
People see the Lord in many places.
But not there.
That is the magic of life, though. In some way, that really does embody God's plan.
What are you talking about?
When you think about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That you get it?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's the driver didn't mean that.
No.
No, I'm certain. I'm certain they did not. But in fact, if they had ever thought about it, they would be horrified and instantly change their license plate.
Right, exactly.
Hey, before we go to the calls, I love this story so much. This could have been a Kevin Citizen of the Day. Gurnee, Illinois, it's a suburb of Chicago, is where it happened. 56-year-old Carolyn Bildson allegedly ran out on her tab at Joe's Crab Shack in Gurnee on Tuesday night. Police were called. It's the second time she's left without paying at the restaurant, by the way.
All right.
Police show up, and they find her not far from the restaurant. And as you can imagine, she's intoxicated, lying face down in the grass.
Good.
So, you know,
I'm in a bush.
They wake her up and they say, hey, lady, what's up? And she says, oh, I left my wallet at home. I was not my intention to run out. I was just going to go home and get my money and come back and pay for my meal. And the police officer said, well, that's fine. I'll go with you. So the police officer takes the woman back to her home. And here's where the police report picks up verbatim. She walked into her bedroom. She said her money was in her dresser drawer, and she opened it and reached inside and removed a, quote, clear, rigid, feminine pleasure device.
All right. Quote,
and held it over her head as she approached the officer in a threatening manner.
What? She was going to attack him with it?
Yes. The officer knocked the device out of the way prior to being struck and placed the woman under arrest. She was then escorted out of the residence, placed in the squad car, and transported to the Gurnee Police Department.
That's so great.
Officer goes to the house so she can get her money, ends up being attacked by a dildo. Which, you know, look, I have all the respect in the world for police officers. Man, what a tough job. And you always talk about how you have no idea what your job is going to be that day. Are you going to end up directing traffic at an accident scene, or are you going to end up getting hit in the head by a vibrator?
Right.
It's just crazy, the range of things that police officers see.
I'm guessing the vibrator thing is probably happens less than most.
Probably.
A lot of other things.
I think so, too. But anyway, pretty funny. That's your kind of woman right there.
And no, by the way, kidding.
If you saw the mugshot, Carolyn's a goer. I'll tell you. I think you would enjoy meeting her.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Well, that's good to know.
I'm
in. Just bring money for the meal.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin Means What to Do Now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do is, for the first time ever, the past, present, and future have collided with the Back to the Future 25th Anniversary Trilogy Collection, available on Blu-ray and DVD. This is what you're going to get for being on the air with us. You're getting the DVD version for joining us. Let's talk to our man Andy, who I believe is the guy who calls us every time he either goes in or out of prison. And it sounds like maybe today's an out day.
Hey, Andy.
Ooh.
You're out for another day.
I'm out.
Now, how long were you in this time?
20 days,
all right.
Okay. And if I recall correctly, this was because of a probation violation, because you had gotten in trouble and had to serve time in Colorado, but since you got in trouble once you got back to California, they put you away also?
You know me so well now.
Wow, yeah, I thought so. Dean really stays on top of them.
He does.
Well, Andy's got a fascinating story, because he's one of our listeners who calls in every time we talk to him. Seriously, guys, that's the last time I'm going to get in trouble.
Right now, seriously, is that the last time you're going to get in trouble?
I am done. I am so done.
And Andy's biggest problem is that he's an idiot and drinks while he drives. So how are you solving that?
Oh, ouch.
What are you going to be doing
drinking.
To correct that? No more drinking at all?
No. 10 months sober.
Oh, you are. Congratulations.
Wow. You sound more like the kind of guy who would choose no more driving.
Well, that's made. That decision was made for me by the state.
Oh, that's nice. So that makes your decision-making easier.
So wait, you're not allowed to drive at all?
For another year.
Then why bother giving up drinking now? Why don't you wait and give up the drinking when you can start driving again?
That is a good idea, but, you know, maybe for the other aspects of my life, I should give up drinking.
Oh, so. I see.
I think let's back him on this play, Bean.
That's what I think. Devil man.
I'd say probably he needs it.
He's got a year that he can drink and not worry about driving while he drinks, though.
That's the man who doesn't drink.
Right. But you could get into other trouble other than drinking and driving.
All right.
Hey, Bean.
Yes, sir.
Bean.
Yes. Yes.
Bean.
Bean. Yes, Tom Cruise. Go ahead.
Well, here's the deal. I'm coming up to Seattle this weekend.
Can't hear you. You're breaking up, Andrew. Break it up. Break it up. Can't hear you.
Coming up to Seattle this weekend, you drink. Maybe I'll drink.
There you go.
You're safe.
We're going to kick it off today with Four Loko Friday.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good times. What are you coming up for, Andrew?
I actually have a buddy up there, and so flying up, me and the girlfriend.
Just coming up to visit.
Yep.
All right.
Are you going to end up in jail in Washington?
Are you going to hit every state?
That would be horrible. Although, it's like Bean's haircut thing. I like jails in other states.
Jails America. I like it very much. It's a great idea.
There are two things that scare me about this conversation. How much Bean knows about Andy.
Yes.
And how much Andy knows about Bean.
Both of them. I've already looked up Vashon Island. I'm headed that way. I'm just looking for a pink house.
Andy listens to the show, and I have always found his story fascinating because he really does sound like a guy who's trying to get his life on the straight and narrow. And
but
that's
can't.
Why I'm pulling for him.
And that's why we love him, because he can't.
I'm amazed he has a girlfriend. Through all of this?
That's a good point.
Wow, she's a good woman. Or an
I
idiot.
Know, right?
Is she a good
and
woman or an idiot? Which is it?
This quote-unquote girlfriend, did you meet him in prison?
Nice. What direction you went with that?
He never gets enough of those jokes.
Nope.
All right, Andrew, listen, we're very proud of you. Good luck. Why don't you give us a call back in January, say, and we'll see how you're doing through the holidays and whatnot, and let us know how the sobriety's going.
You
okay?
have a lot more faith in Andy. I was thinking Monday.
Yeah. Well, I'll see Bean tomorrow, so after the weekend.
I'm in New Hampshire now, but have a great trip to Washington, wherever that is.
You enjoy that.
Oh, okay.
Now you know where the state is?
Odd. Nope, I don't. See you later, dude.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I resent it. It's not true.
We haven't.
And it was one of the most disgusting moments of my presidency.
Wow.
He hates you.
Writer, actor, director, all-around good guy, Kevin Smith.
Oh,
how about that?
Love
in
him.
Studio today.
He's always great.
One of our favorite people.
Yeah.
Movie Beat, because it is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph will tell you about all the new movies. Andrew Siciliano will be on the program today talking sports, the awesome. NFL, talking Manny Pacquiao fight this weekend. I believe we might have an interview set up with Freddie Roach as well.
Nice. No kidding.
He's his trainer.
Oh, that's good.
So that's coming up as well. And Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. So all of that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
What's up, party people? It's Friday. Offspring on the way. Black Keys, Linkin Park. Also Phoenix Now. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Sad news today. Announced on Entertainment Tonight, Jane Fonda has recently been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm.
Ah. Legendary actress told the TV talk show that she had been to a routine checkup and they found a small tumor in her breast, and she had it removed a few days ago. She described the tumor as non-invasive, which is a good sign, and she said she's fine and hopes to make a full recovery, and they'll know in a little while how successful the surgery was, but a scary event in any woman's life, so we wish her the best, obviously. Real good actress, by the way, the Jane Fonda. I know Kevin doesn't like her because she started many years ago, but she has been good.
I haven't seen her in anything.
Throughout her career, really, always gives a terrific performance.
Must protect boobs, that's all I know.
You must, you're right.
And Kevin doesn't like her because she fought for Charlie, too. You got to remember that.
That's true.
She did fight for Charlie, yes. Way sexy back in her day when she was a little sex kid. Have you ever seen that Barbarella, which was produced by Dino De Laurentiis, who just passed away, sci-fi film? She is just way practically naked in that movie for most of it.
All right.
Good times. Carrie Prejean.
Yeah.
Former Miss California and Nutloaf.
Yes.
Has announced she is pregnant. She says she has no idea who the husband is.
Really?
Or who the father is.
Shocking.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It says here she's married to Oakland Raiders quarterback Kyle Bowler. And they are happy to expect whatever little bigot they're going to have. So, congratulations.
This should not happen in America.
Now, does she imagine that she got pregnant because the wind blew her skirt open?
Yes.
I mean, is that what happened?
Her vest came open, and then apparently there was a seed in the air.
You know how confused she is by how things work
she
with all the
confused,
human body.
Confused, yes.
Seed in the air.
Seed in the air.
Speaking
of time of year.
That's my favorite love song. Speaking of the right, Sarah Palin's Alaska debuts this Sunday night on TLC. Set your TiVos, set your your VCRs. This is Sarah Palin, her 8-episode program where she gives you a tour of her Alaska.
Odd.
The outdoor life of Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Mark Burnett, our buddy from Survivor.
Hmm.
Some are characterizing it as the most expensive presidential campaign I've ever made. And some are saying it is just a deadly dull reality show. But you be the judge.
I'm trying to figure out what the point of it is. Is it the point is just that Mark Burnett thinks people will watch because it's Sarah Palin?
Sure.
She said yes because there's a lot of money. And because it doesn't.
Yes and yes.
Okay.
And profile, yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, but she's got her profile's plenty high.
Yeah.
But I think it's... It's a slam dunk for the network, certainly. I mean, given her fan base, people will tune in, and you get to see her shoot moose or something.
Will she show us where you can see Russia from?
I think she will.
To that point.
Take us from her
porch.
Yes.
Go
over there.
She'll walk out on her porch and just point and say, look, see? You can see the Kremlin from here.
Is she going to be all folksy, like you like, Ralph?
Oh, I hope so. Hope she winks to the camera a lot and talks
a lot
about
of you betcha.
The Mama Grizzlies.
I don't think she knows any other way.
They got a big salmon, don't you know? Forbes magazine has released their list of Hollywood's top female earners. These are the show business celebrities, all female, who make the most money. Certainly have over the past year. Interesting list, but not some surprises, but not too many. 9 and 10 are tied. Taylor Swift is tied with, this may be a surprise, Judge Judy Shindlin.
She's still alive?
Judge Judy.
Alive. She makes so much money.
Her show is huge, and I think she owns it, doesn't she, Ralph?
She does. Judge Judy and Taylor Swift made the same amount of money this year. Now that's
Judge Judy. Baloney. It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense, Judge Judy.
Her show is like Oprah popular, too. It's just crazy how many people watch Judge Judy.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. How much do you think she made? You want to take a guess?
Not interested, sir.
Come on, Judy.
Not interested, sir.
We're talking about you.
Just last year.
Yeah, over the past year.
So you get Zippo, nada.
No, you didn't. You made more than Zippo or nada.
$114 million.
No, that's just crazy. $45
million. Wow.
Damn. $45 million.
Still ridiculous.
I want you to answer my question.
You didn't ask a question.
20-year-old Taylor Swift made that too?
Yeah, they both made $45 million.
Wow.
She's a whore, too, by the way, Taylor Swift.
She's not a whore.
So is Judge Judy.
Yeah. Keep saying that.
She's did nothing under the robe behind the desk, by the way.
Judy's crazy.
And, Rusty the bailiff is just taking care of business. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Brushes. During the show.
Yeah.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
All rise for Judge Judy. You know what I'm saying?
See? What?
Miley Cyrus was eighth on the list. She made $48 million this year.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. You're talking about in their total career?
No, this is over the past year.
Wow.
Wow.
Ellen DeGeneres made $55 million, number seven on the list with her popular TV talk show. Sandra Bullock made $56 million.
Wow.
She's sixth on the list. Madonna came in at number five with $58 million.
Did she tour?
Yeah, she did.
Sales? Okay.
Lady Gaga, fourth on the list with $62 million.
Takes a lot to get those meat dresses.
It does. Really... That's an expensive outfit.
That's right.
You have to tenderize and you got to marinate. That's not
after
cheap.
After you put it on.
That's right. Britney Spears, inexplicably.
Yeah, she isn't.
She just eats Cheetos.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Third on the list with $64 million.
She was out on the road this
year.
Wow.
That's true. The circus tour, right?
Yeah.
Beyonce Knowles, second on the list with $87 million.
Jeez.
That's what Beyonce is pulling in. And number one on the list, Oprah Winfrey, as she is almost every year when Forbes released this list. Oprah Winfrey, number one on the list. Tell me, take a gander, take a guess, take a shot.
$3 trillion.
Yes, she has all the money. It just says all here. There's an infinity symbol next to her name. I'm not quite sure what that means. No, she made $315 million.
Right. What was second place, the number?
Beyonce Knowles with $87
million. 87.
Oprah Winfrey, $315 million.
Well, she wins.
She always wins.
It's more than triple what Beyonce's pulling.
And that's because she owns her show, right?
Yeah, and she's got her own network. She produces other shows, and she produces Dr. Phil.
She's
and
just a
Oz
mogul.
I'm so fat.
She's a fat mogul.
I'm so fat.
But at least Beyonce has a husband who's making even more than she is,
yeah,
probably.
Those so true.
Their household together is probably doing pretty well, and Oprah's got, you know, how much, whatever Gail's making is whatever, you know, she's paying her.
And Stedman, you know.
Stedman, he's pulling in the big bucks.
He's playing Call of Duty or whatever
doing
he's
whatever
doing.
He does.
I've gained weight.
All right.
And Charlie Sheen, who's also a top earner, making $2 million an episode for Two and a Half Men. He can't afford to lose his job, apparently. Us Weekly magazine released the numbers that he has to pay both of his ex-wives, Denise Richards and Brooke Mueller, $55,000 a month.
A month?
In child support.
Oh, wow.
Combined $110,000 every month he's got to give those two women.
Wow.
I don't care how much money you're making. That is a chunk.
It's got to hurt.
And speaking of relationships that are a sham, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
How
the news?
Dare you, sir?
Well, Tom is very upset because In Touch magazine is reporting that someone involved in the Cruise-Holmes camp is writing a tell-all book about their private lives.
All right.
Oh, they'll be killed.
The book promises to blow the lid off the marriage of Tom and Katie.
Dad! Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet!
Reportedly, it involves tales of Katie living in a separate wing of the house. Book also claims she's tired of being controlled by Tom and the people that surround him, but she's happy to have the $1.5 million shopping allowance she gets every year. So
If this is true, she puts on a great front.
She does.
I gotta
say.
She's
got a great front. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Did you say 105 million?
No, 1.5.
1.5 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
105 million shopping spree. That would be good times. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Actress Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yes.
Who is just lovely. She's got that new movie coming out, Love and Other Drugs. Check that soon.
I don't know that one.
I think she plays a terminally ill woman who finds true love.
All right.
A little too late, in my opinion.
She should have thought about that before.
That's right, before she got terminally ill. She is 28 years old today. Actor Ryan Gosling turns 30 years old. Singer Tevin Campbell is 34. No, I said that right. It is Tevin. His name is Tevin.
Yeah.
It's Tevin.
Tevin.
Yeah.
With a T.
Megan Mullally. From Will and Grace, is 52 years old today.
How funny is she in Children's Hospital, by the way, Ralph?
She's awesome.
She's awesome on that show.
Yeah. Hilarious character.
Yeah. I never cared for her much. I loved her. I can't believe it's not Buttered Singing and Dancing commercial. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Wildly pathetic.
That's some of her best work.
Wow.
But on Will and Grace, I thought it was sort of a one-trick pony, that character stuff. It was a little grating. But on Children's Hospital, she blows me away.
If you haven't seen Children's Hospital, you have to seek that out.
Yes.
It is just brilliant.
It's on Adult Swim.
It's too long on video, right, Kevin?
It is too long, yeah.
A little hard to hold Kevin's attention for 15 minutes.
Too much investment in time.
They really just make however much they have. So it could be a 10-minute episode, maybe 12 minutes, just whatever they have.
Just how many jokes they have.
Yeah.
And speaking of Kevin, one of his favorites, Neil Young, singer Neil Young, celebrates his 65th birthday today.
He's a singer.
Hey, hey, my, it's my birthday.
Wish you would die.
Oh, that was better.
Thank you.
Better than mine. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Raiders. R.
No.
R.
No.
I.
No.
D. E. R. Right? S.
We are talking about the mighty Oakland Raiders, who, by the way, has been a very disappointing season for me, especially as a Seahawks fan, by the way, to not be able to mock the Raiders, who are, lately anyway, better than the Seattle team is.
But everyone's better than the Seattle team, including half of the high schools.
That's not true.
That's so mean.
Look, it'd be way worse to be a Cowboys fan this season. That's true. The Raiders have been in the news a lot this year, some of it for on the field, some of it for stories like this one, which is we are being told that they have announced a new team slogan. Now, the Raiders have more slogans than any team I already know about. You go to the Raiders official website, and it says in big letters right next to Raiders, commitment to excellence. I thought that was their slogan.
It was for 30 years, but so
but
was...
But they're still using it, is what I'm saying.
But so was Just Win, Baby.
Like Just Win, Baby, yeah.
That was their slogan forever. And by the way, do most teams have slogans?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know of any other slogans for football teams.
The Raiders got plenty, that's for sure. So they got commitment to excellence. They got to Just Win, Baby. Of course, they got the Raider Nation. And now we are told that there is a new slogan that has been recently started being used called Just Cut It Loose. And it happened because
what?
Just Cut It Loose is the slogan.
No, it isn't.
And it happened because Coach Tom Cable saw his team worrying too much about mistakes, and that's what he said, just cut it loose. And apparently that just caught fire with everybody. And now that's what they're
just
using for the
show. Just cut it loose.
So I don't know what the hell is going on, but apparently we do have – do I have this right from producer Alex? We do have somebody inside the Oakland Raiders marketing team on the phone with us to help settle the whole disagreement with us. Hello?
What's up, fool?
Hey, who's this?
It's Rudy, dog. What do you mean, who is
Rudy? Rudy? Rudy Cisneros? It's Kevin and Bean calling.
Man, what's up, dog?
What's happening?
Oh, man, you know, just getting all perv, hanging out like a pre-party for the Raiders.
Now, Rudy, we got two things. One is, Rudy is the biggest Raider fan, but doesn't watch any games.
Right.
No, I mean, like, when I can, I will, fool, but, like, it's hard.
Right.
Man.
So now you're where? You're at a watching party?
I mean, up in Oakland. That's right. I came up here for the big game.
Okay.
Like, we're already, like, at the parking lot.
Parking lot.
With the carne asada, I'm smoking herb, like getting all
run
it out. Like, yeah, getting ready for the big ass game.
Okay, but the big ass.
He's the big ass game.
You know.
Who are the Raiders playing?
The football team, fool.
Right, which team, though? What's the big ass game?
The one with the black guys on it.
Okay. Doesn't narrow it down.
That could be any team, but who are they playing this weekend?
You tell me. All right. You're the crazy-ass smart one.
We will tell you. It's a bye week. They're not playing. So, so you're going to be tailgating for...
Like, bi, like they speak two languages, or bi, like I am in jail?
Neither, really.
Bi, like they're going to take
no game.
They're going to take the week off, and you're going to be tailgating for 10 days.
Oh, whatever. I'm down with that.
You're good with that. Okay.
Okay, and then when you tailgate for 10 days, then the game that gets played a week from Sunday is an away game. They're going to be in Pittsburgh. So you're going to be tailgating for a game that's not even happening where you are.
Another 7 days. So that's 17 days.
Oh, man. Like, good thing I don't have any work to call in sick to.
Yeah, well, right.
All right. Help clear our confusion up about this slogan thing. So commitment to excellence, just win, baby, and now just cut it loose is what they're using. What's the story?
That's pretty weak, dog. You know
that's
what
a weak thing.
Like, just cut it loose.
Just cut it loose.
Like, you know, like the slogan should represent, like, the culture of the team, you know?
Right.
Like, I had some that I was, like, sending in. You know, in like the mail.
Oh, you had some suggestions?
Yeah. I was drawing like these crazy pictures of Aztecs and stuff.
Right.
And then I would like write these notes and stuff. And then I would put it in the crazy envelopes and send it in the mail. And like the Raiders never seemed to like respond. But I had some dope ass ones.
Well, like what?
Instead of just cut it loose.
Yeah.
Just cut you.
Well, I don't think that's...
Like, we'll just cut you.
Right, but I don't think they want to advertise that.
Four Loko in Oakland.
Okay, good.
Quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Quarter ounces.
Is that really a slogan?
That doesn't promote the team, really.
And black.
Silver and black, okay.
And brown.
Okay, because there are a lot of Mexicans who follow the team.
That's right, dog. Right.
These aren't very good, Rudy.
It's not gay if you're in jail.
That's a slogan?
Okay. But what does that have to do with football?
That's a Raiders slogan, yeah.
Our parole officers are better than your honor students.
I like it.
I can see that on a bumper sticker.
Oh, that's damn. A good one. Whatever happened to Roger and Zapp?
To Roger and Zapp?
But what does that have to do?
Wait, is that a Raiders slogan?
I don't know, but for real, though, huh?
You're just a fan of them.
One had the tube in his mouth that was being all funny, and the other one had the beat.
Right.
That was a dope bat.
I don't know what happened to them.
You want a little more bounce to the outs is what you're asking for, Rudy.
Oh, clean, eh? How about, right. Like, bilingual, bisexual, buy me a beer.
Okay, again, it sounds more like you're creating T-shirts for spring break than it does anything to do with the National Football League.
How about Raiders? Pay your own child support, bitch.
Okay, I can see why they didn't write you back. None of these are really going to work for the team, Rudy, but at least you are a huge fan.
Oh, dale, man. Hey, never mind. I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck this week.
Hey, it's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means Ralph's here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Some big movies in theaters this weekend. A trilogy of expensive, high-end films featuring a lot of talent. Something to appeal to everyone, I think.
All right,
now,
good.
You know me, I am not a big fan of the rom-coms.
What's that?
The romantic comedy.
Oh, right.
Which are traditionally aimed towards women.
Yes.
But if they're well done.
But every once in a while, one catches my eye, and Morning Glory is such a film.
Ugh.
Now, before you go, ugh.
I'm excited about it.
It's got a great cast. Well, that's a given, Lisa.
You have a vagina.
There's a lot of them I haven't seen.
Rachel McAdams stars,
first of all. She's way hot.
She is stunningly beautiful and also enormously talented.
Right.
She plays a TV producer who gets fired from a local news program and sort of stumbles into a national job producing a morning show, a national morning show that's kind of struggling in the ratings. So they bring in some fresh talent and she gets to produce it. And it is... hosted by a legendary TV actor, who's at the end of his career, played by Harrison Ford, and co-hosted by Diane Keaton.
And they've been together before in a movie called The Family Stone, and they were great together.
So that's the premise, and she falls in love with another guy who works there, and you know, romance ensues. But I think this cast and this level of talent, and the script looks pretty funny. It looks like there's something in there.
Hmm.
Here's a little clip from it. This is where Harrison Ford is playing a Tom Brokaw-type TV news anchor who's at the tail end of his career, leaves the nightly news, now is hosting a morning talk show, and he thinks it's beneath him, naturally, and he's sort of outlining his resume for Rachel McAdams' character.
I've won 8 Peabodys, a Pulitzer, 16 Emmys, I was shot through the forearm in Bosnia. Pulled Colin Powell from a burning jeep. I laid a cool washcloth on Mother Teresa's forehead during a cholera epidemic. I had lunch with Dick Cheney.
You're here for the money.
That is correct.
You're here for the money. That is correct.
That sounds funny.
Okay. That funny. Does sound funny.
That sounds funny.
Some promise to this film.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Never mind.
All right. I know you're excited. We know you're excited. We got that. Noted. It's in the record. Skyline also opens this weekend. We talked to Eric Balfour, star Eric. Of the film. Also stars Donald Faison, best known from Scrubs, and David Zayas, who from Dexter.
Dexter.
Oh,
there he is. Mm-hmm.
As Angel.
Sure. Angel.
That's right.
Extraterrestrials come to L.A. and pretty much kick our ass. That's all you need to know about Skyline. Here's a scene where Eric Balfour is watching the population of Los Angeles get abducted by aliens, and surprisingly, he doesn't dig it. That doesn't sound good.
No,
not for us, not for our side.
It sounds very tense.
It sounds like we're losing.
Yeah. Here's the thing someone said about this film, which I thought was interesting. They said, this film is pretty much what it was like when the Indians were living in America and then the Europeans came to settle. And you know how that turned out for the Indians, right?
Sure, yes.
So pretty much, just imagine us, and the aliens say, oh, we found a new world. We're just going to take what we want.
So we're the Indians now?
They're giving us blankets with smallpox in it. That's all I'm telling you. And also opening this weekend, Unstoppable. We've been talking about this film all week. Chris Pine and Denzel Washington star as a pair of train conductors who are trying to catch another train that is unstoppable.
Ah.
And yet they're going to try to stop it. Sounds like a fool's errand to me.
It's unstoppable. Why try?
Doesn't stop our two heroes from trying. Here's Chris Pine and Denzel Washington working on their plan to stop this very dangerous missile on a train track.
Whoa, wait a minute.
The only way to stop that kind of power, grab it by the tail, boom, gun in the opposite direction.
We can't just chase that. If it goes down, we're going to be a wreck on a wreck.
Doesn't matter. There's a good chance the derailleur won't work.
It's called a derailleur, for Christ's sake.
That's what
they do.
That size, going that fast, it'll vaporize anything that gets in its way.
They wouldn't use it if they didn't.
They're wrong, all right? They're wrong. Are you in or are you out?
Okay, you want to get yourself killed, you do it alone.
I bet he changes his mind.
I bet he does. And learns a valuable lesson.
Denzel Washington is great in everything.
He is.
Yeah.
And if anybody can sell this type of blind heroism, it's certainly him. So
He's a blind hero in this movie?
God's sakes. So something for everybody. You got your action adventure with Unstoppable. You have your romantic comedy with Morning Glory. And then your science fiction with Skyline. Good weekend of the movies this weekend.
All right.
Take your pick.
Fantastic.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Our friend Kevin Smith joins us next hour. That's always fun. Also, Adam Carolla on the program later on today. By the way, speaking of friends of the Kevin and Bean Show, how about our man Andrew Siciliano, the host of the Red Zone on DirecTV, who talks to us this morning from deep in the heart of Texas?
Yeah!
Sis, what's going on, man? You're on the road, dude.
Thank God Alex called to wake me. Does my voice sound like I'm alive?
You sound fine.
You sound totally
normal.
Yeah, there's a fight here Saturday.
So she woke. What? There's a fight? What?
There's a fight. There's Pacquiao. There's Margarito. Hopefully nobody cheats and no one makes fun of Parkinson's. It'll be fun.
All right, let's catch people up that don't know the story. First of all, making fun of. Let's talk about Margarito and what he said.
All right. Well, Freddie Roach, beloved. And I can't emphasize that. You can't emphasize that enough. Beloved trainer for Manny Pacquiao suffers from Parkinson's.
Considered one of the best trainers of all time, right?
What's that?
Considered one of the best trainers of all time, right?
Considered as good as it gets. Yeah. And whether or not it's a direct result of his fighting career, whether or not it was something that he was going to get regardless and it was brought on by his fighting, he suffers from Parkinson's. Now, he has it relatively under control to the point where he is able, through the use of his drugs, to actually get in the ring and spar with Manny Pacquiao, but he shakes. It is noticeable. Yeah. Some days are better than others.
It's like looking at Michael J. Fox in an interview. It's that same sort of thing. Right.
Exactly. Antonio Margarito, however, and another fighter, a guy that he spars with, were caught on video, which is posted on the internet this week, making fun of Freddie Roach, doing the hands in front of you, act like you're the kid on the short bus, shaking kind of deal.
Oh, man.
And it looked really, really, really bad. And I can't emphasize enough how much Freddie Roach is beloved.
No, I know.
But then, when the trainer for Margarito got up there to apologize at a press conference Thursday, it wasn't even a full apology. And he claimed, well, I don't allow that at my gym. Well, you were seen in the video standing there laughing at these guys.
Right, yeah.
So Freddie Roach, very classy, simply said, it's sad that they had to do that. I hope my guy kicks his ass.
Yeah. So is this bulletin board material, or does it not work like that in boxing? I mean, what kind of emotions are going to be riding high as a result of that incident once the fight starts?
You know, that's a great question, because one would think that it's bulletin board material. It certainly has some kind of effect, but at the same time, when you have two men standing in front of each other with gloves trying to beat the you-know-what out of each other, if one of them is overly aggressive, then maybe it works to his detriment. So maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing for Margarita to do it, to try to get Manny Pacquiao off track, you know, out
right.
of focus, something like that. Considering the guy hasn't lost in years and he's that good, I don't know if it's going to play that much of a role, but I know this from my show on ESPN yesterday. Anyone, not anyone, but many that were pulling for Margarito have seen that video and now changed their allegiance.
Wow.
Interesting. Now, you also made references to Andrew Siciliano on the phone with us here on the Kevin DeMincio. You made reference when we came on to another story that's been very big in the boxing world, especially leading up to this fight. There are people who don't think that Margarito should be allowed to fight anyone because of a past cheating scandal. Tell folks about that.
Me too, to be honest with you. I don't think the guy should be licensed. And for the record, he's not licensed in California. He is not licensed in Las Vegas.
That's why they're doing it in Texas.
There's a reason we are going to be at Jerry Jones Massive.
Everything goes with Jerry Jones, right?
Exactly. He might coach the Cowboys.
Now, what did he do before?
Well, it actually happened at Staples.
Margarito.
Excuse me. He's going to fight Shane Mosley, promoter Shane Mosley.
Right.
And as he was about to fight, the Mosley's trainer, you're allowed to watch the other guy get his hands taped.
Okay.
Kind of a gentleman's thing. I'll watch you, you watch me, if you choose to. Not everyone chooses to.
Right.
And they looked at Margarito's gloves and they said, something doesn't feel right here. So they took his gloves off and he had, in essence, plaster of Paris in his gloves. In other words, when they wrapped his hands underneath his gloves, they put this sticky substance that eventually hardened, so it was like he had bricks in his gloves.
Wow.
So they said, whoa, 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 whoa. Take that out, rewrap. They did. Shane beat him and beat him pretty badly. The question then became, had Margarito done this on previous fights?
Right.
What everyone looks at was the Cotto fight, his previous fight, in which it wasn't a huge upset, but he beat Miguel Cotto and beat him to the point where it looked like he was hitting the head of a baseball bat.
Wow.
I mean, the
wow.
guy was bleeding from his ears. He was just beaten beyond belief.
Wow.
And it was said, oh,
so
my
now
God,
they're thinking.
And so everyone assumes now that he also had that in his gloves for the Cotto
wow.
fight.
How about that?
And
but,
they pulled his license in California. They pulled his license in California. I'm sorry, in Nevada. They reapplied, but they would not give him a license. Hence, we're at Jerry Jones Stadium, and he will be calling plays for the Cowboys.
But let me ask you this. Very funny. Let me ask you this, Sis, because there's no universal punishment for cheating in sports. There are players who are suspended for two games, and then they come back. There are
sure.
players who just get a fine. I mean, I don't know how it works in boxing, but, I mean, is there a precedence for you're caught cheating somehow, giving yourself an unfair advantage? They kick you out for life? I mean, that's not that doesn't sound right either.
Well, boxing's filthy. I mean, it's truly filthy. There's no way to hide it. And if the state wants to license you, you can fight. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I
and
guess
if someone's
right.
going to get in the ring with you,
so what
you can fight.
So what time? This is tomorrow night? What time?
It is tomorrow night, pay-per-view, Saturday evening, and I don't even know what it's going for, 50, 60, something like that. But
I think
I mean, it might be a good fight.
I think it's 6 o'clock West Coast time. Can you imagine a worse place to watch boxing than in the upper rows of that stadium?
Well, the scoreboard, if you remember, is so
that's
big
right. it's
that
like
the majority of people that will be here are literally here only for the experience, and they will see it and watch it on that board. Pacquiao fought here a couple of months ago. It was really a dog of a fight against a guy named Joshua Clotty, and they put 60, 70, if not more, into the building.
Wow.
Just like they did for the NBA All-Star game here, and people simply watch on the big board and say they were there.
Is Jim Lampley going to call the fight?
I assume Lampley is, yes.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Do you want to throw sometime? Bang. Bang, 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 bang.
What's happening?
I will pass along your bang, bang wish.
I love it so much.
Yes. This is a pretty big deal for you to travel to the site of a fight. This isn't the type of thing you usually do either, Andrew.
I usually do often, actually, when it's Vegas. I'm actually coming home because of football. I will not stay for the fight. So I'm
what?
I'm just here for the radio side of it, and, you know, a radio show.
Oh, so you're going to do it live from there before the fight, and then you're going to be on a plane during the fight so that you can be on the red zone.
No, I'm going to be home tonight.
Oh, yeah, he's going to do his show from here.
Yeah, I'm going to do my radio show from here tonight, which is what – this is easier when it's in Vegas.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Of course, I could hop on a 6 a.m., go out, do the show, come back.
Right.
But, you know, here I had to fly last night because it's Dallas.
Well, good times. Well, that's going to be a heck of a fight. Then. And by the way, let me ask you one more thing, and forgive me if this is an amateur question.
Bang, bang, bang.
Why is it...
Bang, bang, bang.
Manny Pacquiao is fighting in his 8th weight class.
Yes.
How is it possible they have so many weight classes where 3 pounds more and you're in a different weight class? I mean, doesn't it seem like there should be fewer?
I believe there's like 85 weight classes. It's actually,
I mean, come on.
Every pound?
Versatility, speed, ability to lose weight.
Right.
One of his first fights was 9,800 pounds, something like that. Now, the target weight here is 150. He's probably going to fight at 148, whereas Margarito could be well up above 160. So there may be a 12 to 14 pound.
Wow. Plus, you got to add the concrete, the weight of the concrete in Margarito, too.
Exactly. I mean, he could be 180.
That's
plus,
right.
He's taller, has a longer reach. And hits hard. I mean, this is a challenge, certainly, but Pacquiao has, above all else, speed.
I want everybody listening to listen to how good Andrew Siciliano sounds. For a man who literally had his face in a pillow or a hooker, we don't know how he rolls, about 10 minutes ago, the guy was sound asleep, and look at him, doing the radio interview that he's doing right now. It's amazing.
Who said, and you're too kind, who said that she can't hold pillows?
That's a good point.
Maybe that's a good point.
They're her pillows, yeah. Let's talk NFL. You do the Red Zone. Any big games this weekend you like?
Well, you know, that Eagle game is on a Monday night. That Ravens game was actually pretty darn good last night. And I'm not saying this only because I'm a Browns fan, but the brothers Ryan get together in Cleveland. You know, Rex coaches, you saw Hard Knocks, he cursed like a sailor.
Sure.
He coaches the Jets. His brother Rob looks like, what is it, Hagedorn? What's the thing from Harry Potter?
Harry Potter, right?
He's the defensive coordinator for the Browns. Rex this week came into his weekly press conference dressed as his brother with a long wig and a brown shirt and a Browns hat on. And said, you know, my brother's very handsome. I guess he'd be there. But that one's interesting. And the return of Randy Moss will be fascinating.
Who's he with now?
He's a Tennessee Titan.
All right.
And they are on the road against the Miami Dolphins. I don't know if you caught it last week, but the story of the week that I think got overlooked the most in the NFL, Channing Crowder of the Dolphins, they went to Baltimore, they lost to the Ravens. And then afterwards, Crowder accused LaRon McClain of the Dolphins, or rather the Ravens, of spitting in his face. And he accused the referees of course, missing the spit.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know, they're Stevie Wonder or Anne Frank or something.
Yes.
Anne Frank.
Yes, they could be Anne Frank.
And the reporter said, Anne Frank?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know, the blind one. I don't give a bleep about Anne Frank. He meant, of course, Helen
Keller.
Yeah.
Keller.
Sure.
He's the guy who once, when they went to England, said he didn't know they spoke English there. The only thing he knew of London was Redskin linebacker London Fletcher, and quote, he can't be from London because he's black.
Yes. Wow. Nothing but gold falling out of that guy's mouth.
Give that guy a reality show.
Also, right. Cowboys and Giants, Dallas' season is over. Jason Garrett debuts as head coach.
Very good. Andrew Siciliano, of course, the host of The Red Zone, the best goddamn show on television. Call DirecTV or go to the website and get it for your own self. It's part of the great NFL package they offer. And listen to him on ESPN Radio in Southern California, 7:10 a.m. starting at 11. Andrew, you are the best, man. Thank you for joining us on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Next time I will gargle before the show.
Go back to bed. Bye now.
This is The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Kevin Smith is in the building. He'll be joining us coming up just after the top of the hour, for the hour. We can't wait. Looking forward to that. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Kevin and Bean Friday show. What's happening?
Well, it's the end of reality television, thank God.
Oh, that's such good news.
They finally got to the last idea.
It's over?
It's over. This is obviously has to be the bottom of the barrel.
There's no way they can go any further than this.
Okay.
Just announced on the TV Guy Network, a new reality show called The Nail Files. It's a reality series about a Hollywood nail salon called The Painted Nail.
Hey. Oh,
wow.
Daily Variety says the 6-episode show will focus on the celebrities who come into the shop to get their nails done.
Yeah, celebrities.
Yeah.
It's a nail show about people getting their nails done.
Wow.
It's The Nail Files. See?
It is sad and it is disturbing. I'm sure you will agree.
See, that works on two levels because the file, of course, is something that, you know, like you keep information in, whatever, you can access a file. Yeah. Or if you have like a hangnail or you have a rough surface to your nails, you can use a nail file to smooth that out.
Fail! Epic fail.
You call it the nail fail. That's what they should call it.
Nail fail.
Yeah, that's what you got coming to you.
What channel is going to air that?
That would be the TV Guide Network.
Wow. Okay, I can avoid
it. By the way, my favorite show on TV Guide Network is Tuesday at 8:30. What's on? That's a good one. TV Guide Network. Speaking of television, Olivia Wilde from House.
Yes.
Oh, my God! Change of direction.
She leads an interesting life. You know, she's married to an Italian prince.
Right.
Prince Tau Ruspoli. And they live in a 14th century castle in Italy.
Dude.
That's where they reside.
That's just not fair.
Olivia says it's an interesting little home because it features dungeons and torture chambers in the basement.
Awesome.
How great is that?
That's cool.
How much sex are they having down there, by the way? How often is Prince Tau putting Olivia in the Iron Maiden?
No kidding.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How often are you putting her on the rack?
Right.
Speaking of racks.
Yeah.
She says she's glad she's alive in the new millennium because it looks like medieval times simply weren't fun. She's got a point. What with the, you know, the cholera and the plague and the torture and the Spanish Inquisition and all that.
I'm a couple episodes behind on my House viewing. Has 13 returned to the show yet, Ralph?
No. No, she shan't for some time.
Oh, really? It's going to be a while still. Okay.
Yeah. Because now we've got Amber Tamblyn, who has stepped in to be the female on the team, and she's got at least a 5 or 6 episode arc, so.
Okay.
It's going to be a while. Speaking of TV shows that I love, ABC has picked up a full season of Castle. Network has upped its order to 24 episodes, largely because it's really holding its own against the Hawaii Five-O show over on CBS. So ABC is very pleased with the results of Castle, and they've re-upped it, which is good news.
You got to have her back in.
She's great.
Aline, I forget her name.
Oh, Astana Katic.
Yes.
She was adorable when she was on this show, and just is just a lovely Canadian. Both stars of that show, Canadian, by the way.
Don't care.
I do.
She's hot.
They're taking bread out of the mouths of American
actors. Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
You going to tell her that?
They're flooding over the border, and they're taking our jobs.
But she can do that.
Where's the INS when we need them?
Yeah. Great point.
I am going to start a Minutemen squad up on the border. When Canadian actors come over, pop.
You're going to give them a pop?
You're just talking about your girlfriend, Rachel McAdams. Isn't she one of them Canucks, too?
Yes. Another one of them.
And if you had been up on the border, you could have caught her, put her in your trunk, and had her for your own.
I would have thrown a net over her, that's for sure.
What's happening?
I don't know. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
A God-fearing American actress from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I'll have you know.
Uh-oh.
28 years old today. Ryan Gosling. I'm not sure where he's from, but I don't like his look. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, you can tell.
I thought he was a Canadian. Gosling. What kind of name is that? It's not American.
Communist.
Yeah.
Probably copies.
His parents
like
are probably
Canadians.
Geese. He's a Gosling, right?
I'm just saying.
He's 30 years old today. Tevin Campbell. A name like Tevin can't be good either, by the way.
I don't know
where he's from. He is 34 years old today. Megan Mullally celebrates her 52nd birthday. And Canadian Neil Young. Another guy.
Son of a gun.
Another guy taking bread out of American artists' mouths. Something must be done, people.
We're losing slowly. How did this happen? We wake up one day and all of a sudden we're practically living in Canada.
That's just, I thought I smelled maple syrup this morning. He's 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, 1 hour away from our friend Adam Carolla. Right now, there's a man we haven't seen since before he filmed the movie Red State. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Smith.
Good morning, everybody.
Long time.
Can I comment on the show real quick?
No, of course. Good.
Driving in. Mm-hmm. Listening, and you're talking to some sports dude.
Right. Andrew Siciliano, right?
And you know, it's about a 10-minute drive, and you guys had him in for at least that long.
Okay.
The whole time I'm listening, I just felt my boobs getting bigger and bigger. That is such manly talk that I was like, who are they talking about? It's like you were speaking Martian and names that I'd never heard of, concepts and teams and stuff.
Yeah.
I am so not a sports person at all, with the exception of hockey.
With the exception of hockey.
But my boobs stay big. They're just filled with maple syrup.
All right.
I realize. Do you know any? I mean, you follow football a little bit. Yeah. The Eagles thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm a big NFL fan. And I'm a big boxing fan, too. I'm looking forward to the Pacquiao Margarito fight.
You're multifaceted.
He's a boxer.
I've got one dimension. You've got two.
I'm an onion with many layers.
You are, man. But you're a good dimension, and he's got a lot of medium dimensions.
How dare you, sir?
You know what I'm saying?
I'm the eighth dimension, like Mixoplex. Where anything's possible, and Superman's a nerd.
Can I just
they
say
have no idea? No, I know, but a good percentage of your audience was just like, yeah.
See? What percentage would you say was like, yeah?
23% know who that interdimensional imp is.
So. That's right. Don't get me started on Batmite.
I'm done commenting on the show. I've missed you guys.
I want to say this. That's what I wanted to say, is that we joke all the time about how Kevin Smith is on the payroll, and we treat him like an employee, and he gets called into the boss's office, and they have to go over air checks with him and stuff like that. But not having you on for whatever it's been, like 6 weeks or something, has really bummed us out. I mean, we really have missed you.
I've listened in from time to time as I was driving in, particularly when – like, we had Ralph with us for so long during the shoot. So as I would drive in, I would listen to the show to hear if there was a weakness that I could exploit and become the new Ralph.
That was
my whole plan the whole time. Right. Cast him in this movie. Get him away so I could be like, guys, I could do comedy for 2 hours in the morning.
But what you noticed was the show was better than it's ever been while Ralph was off filming your movie.
I literally heard tumbleweeds rolling through most of that show. I was waiting for zingers and whatnot. Mike saved your butts many times. It was deplorable.
A little arid.
But I did listen, and I did miss you guys. But at the same time, I work with Ralph every week, so it almost feels like by extension. And he brings you guys up every week.
Speaking of which, Hollywood Babylon.
Yes. Our very successful podcast.
You're coming back to it this Saturday night?
Yeah. We recorded at Smog Castle down there on Santa Monica Boulevard between... Wilcox and Cole. Gotta be careful how you say
this.
Yeah. You mix those up, I guess. We've been doing it now. This will be what, episode 11 or 12?
12. 12th show.
Ralph sells that show out every week. We could probably do that show twice a week if we wanted to.
Ralph sells it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the radio, man.
Oh, I know.
And you guys. Well, you guys,
Smith has millions of people listening on the podcast, so that's the partnership. But it's a great time.
To be fair, you can go to some other podcast that I co-host, and they don't sell out. So Ralph's got a draw, man. That's the dynamic of that show, is you walk into that room, and it's surrounded by images of me, but that audience for Hollywood Babylon is 100% Garmin.
Oh, stop.
No, it is.
So Frank, you mean Frank it's his
Garmin.
Family?
Yeah.
Frank Garmin. Frank
yes.
Garmin.
It's a lot of relatives.
You can go to smodcastle.com if you want to buy tickets for Saturday night, if you want to be in the audience and see essentially a live radio show, which sounds like it'd be boring, but these guys, you never know where they're going to go. I check out the podcast when I have time, but there's a lot there to listen to.
Fair enough.
It's a lot of show. Now, Ralph's been so busy.
He just put his hands up like, can you imagine he just said that? And I literally just said, I listened to the show and I heard tumbleweed. So I think it's fair he takes that shot at your podcast.
No, I'm saying, never mind. Ralph has been giving us updates a little bit here and there over the course of you guys making Red State together.
Yes.
And the stories he has told us, are you the most efficient filmmaker in Hollywood? Have you really shot and edited a movie since the last time we saw you that's almost done?
We're picture locked at this point. I was going like a demon. Just the movie was very tightly budgeted. It was $4 million. And on a budget level like that, you don't really have a lot of time to kind of be luxurious or just kind
but
of
you,
like...
But luxurious is one thing. You shot during the day. Then you would go home and edit that night, everything.
Totally.
How do you have the energy for that?
It's weed, I swear to you.
No,
it's marijuana. Yeah. Marijuana.
You're the only guy in the world who reacts that way.
It has some adverse effect on me. I'm like a Kirby Stan Lee creation where it's just like radioactive weed is affecting me. I could sit there, I'll smoke 3 joints and edit for 10 hours and never fall asleep and be like, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I blame weed or credit weed.
I would fall
completely.
Asleep immediately if I did that.
Yeah. Not at all. Wow. I loved shooting all day because I love watching performance, and this movie is porn if you like watching performance.
Right.
Even with Ralph, you'll see.
Well, like, most of his lines I hear were great.
Strong.
I
mean, delivered with a surety and a voice that rivals Chuck Heston.
Gravitas.
Look at all the accents he's doing with his eyes.
He's astounding. But I would sit there all day long just watch performance porn, man. Goodman, Mike, John Goodman's in the movie.
Great.
Michael Parks destroys it, crushes it as our lead guy, Abe Cooper. Melissa Leo, Kyle Gallner, Michael Angarano, Carrie Bechet, Nick Braun, everybody in the cast, Stephen Root, everybody that came out, man. Every scene was like a little acting clinic, so I would enjoy watching all day long. Then I'd go home and cut the previous day's stuff, because you don't get it the very same day. You get like the we shoot something Monday, I'd be cutting it Tuesday night. And so I did that because it's fresh in your head, because
right,
I remember all the moments from the day before. I don't really direct, and I told the cast that this time around, because a lot of people I hadn't worked with before. I'll be honest with you guys, I don't direct. Like, my biggest directions, I'll come over and be like, that was really good, man, do it again, and then walk away, and Ralph will attest
to that.
Exactly. I've been saying for years, it's a monkey's job.
But wait a minute. So you should know that.
That's all I do. I just go over there, and I'm looking for all the moments. It's easy if you're the editor on set who's in charge as the director. It's very easy to keep a tight schedule, because as long as you're observant, you're watching every take on, got that moment, there's that moment.
Right, but after 3 days.
TV people know this. Like, they do this on a regular basis. So basically, it's like taking a television editorial style and applying it to cinema. Normally, with cinema, there's just so much money. They're like, let's just take our time. Why are we rushing
six
people?
Months.
Let's have a drink. Mix me a martini. We'll talk about the edit for 6 months. Here, there's not enough money to do that. So it's just like, let's just cut it the way they do on TV with a schedule.
Is it going to suck because of that?
No. Because, did Lost suck? Because they cut on the same schedule
that
we
really?
Cut. Yeah, of course.
Wow.
What do you think? They had years
in
advance?
Dude.
No.
I think that show was real.
I saw some jackass online who said the same thing. I think it was on Cinema Blend. Some chick was just like, I don't know if cutting that fast is a good thing. Do you like this Lost? Every show that you love on television cuts that.
That's
quickly.
How they do it.
They have to. There's no choice.
They have different people doing it instead of the same guy.
Yeah,
doing
that's the other thing. They usually have a team of three or four editors, but
they don't have Magic Pot.
That's true.
That's true.
Everybody could have Magic Pot, Lisa. They could have a week ago.
Yeah, that's
people
right.
voted. They let us down.
We
tried.
But those of us who are sick, we can have Magic Pot.
Yes. I hope you can feel better, too, by the way.
It's killing me slowly.
Hey, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Did you get out of the editing room or a stoned haze and go vote personally?
Oh, no.
You're the problem.
I don't want to comment on my voting
You're
record.
The problem.
Did Prop 19
I was
lose
very
by
conflicted
one
about
vote.
Prop 19, and this is
did
why.
Did it lose by one vote?
No,
that's
there was,
I
there was a
out.
Decent enough margin. The people that grow, the people that create this, bring us this wonderful
bounty.
They
God's
didn't
gift.
Want it. You know what I'm saying? Those cats were
it.
Like, we don't want it legalized. It's legalized. Like, they're having a great old time selling it for medical purposes and whatnot. It's legalized, regulated by the government. Their farms go away and stuff. And haven't we done enough of that throughout the rest of this country?
Yeah.
So for me, at that point, I went with the farmers. I'm like, look, I'm set either way. So I might as well go with the people who know what they're talking about. Like, these people earn off of it. It was the difference between voting as somebody who's like, I spend money on this product versus voting against people who are like, we grow your product, idiot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're going with the few versus the many. I got you. You'd rather a few people happy rather than everybody.
You know that. I'm all underdog. I'm all bottom.
It's not the few. With Smith as a consumer, there's the many that are employed by him on a regular basis.
As we know, according to the airlines, I smoke enough weed for two. I take enough two chair space for two.
Well, you did just say you're all bottom.
That's true.
That's right. Something to do with it. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
We have many, many, many more questions to ask our friend Kevin Smith. He is in studio. Go to smodcastle.com if you want to see he and Ralph together for their big show this coming Saturday night. And we'll return after this on The Kevin and Bean. Hey, can I mention that there's a big announcement Monday on The Kevin and Bean Show about a big thing that happens this time of year? Would you say that's fair to say? Is that accurate?
You can't say that, no.
No.
Okay, then
but
forget
we,
you
take
heard
it
that.
Back.
But we can say that we have details on Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, come on!
I think that's okay.
That's what he was talking
what?
About. I said you couldn't say.
I was trying to keep it under wraps.
That's what you were
trouble.
Talking about?
Yes!
Guys.
So this time on Monday, if you're interested in that thing that rhymes with Schmacoustic Schmismas, we'll have it for you Monday right here on the
I don't know what
Canada
that is, but we do have details on Acoustic Christmas.
Acoustic Christmas.
And we'll
right.
also be talking about the Miss Double December contest again this
right.
year, by the way.
Which is the
much
wonderful
more
time of the year. By the way, I think Kevin Smith might win this year, come to think of it.
Oh, how dare you.
What? I'm just saying.
Come on.
You make fun of me, Bean, but you know you want to put it between them. You and that. You and
he
that,
wants to go
that wild,
hole on you.
Wild thing outfit of yours, dude. Furry coming at these man boobs. These moves are just waiting for you.
Hey,
Max,
if I could close my eyes, if I have an active enough imagination to make that work for me, I'm not sure.
You don't have a penis to make that work. Hey,
what
Kevin
is the Miss Double D December? You know, could you explain real quick?
You should be, well, yeah, we're ugly. And we need eye candy for when we go out.
Every year we have.
I meant the, not the reason behind the reason. What is the actual term?
Every
of the,
year we have.
Can I win this thing? Is it possible?
A competition, a sort of a beauty pageant, if you will, to find a spokeswoman for the Kevin and Bean Show for the remainder of the year. So every December, we have the Miss Double December contest, and usually have to have D's or double D's in order to.
I'll tell
qualify.
You what you, I'll tell you what you can do, though, is you can be a judge.
Yeah, my wife would love that.
But seriously.
And then you're repping at times. You just have to. These, we interview these girls. We try to find out about their likes and dislikes.
She won't go for that
at all. Their talent.
She'll
be like, talent
you want to go look at things? I want to go taste things.
Oh, wow.
She's like in the Untouchables. You bring a knife, I bring a gun.
Wow. It's always escalating in your house.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's not. There's no detente in our house.
What if you sit at the restaurant next door with binoculars?
She's like, what are you doing?
Isn't that cool? We can check with you with a walkie-talkie. What do you think,
from a distance. Like, why is she like, who keeps calling you? Like,
you would enjoy pageant day, Mr. Smith. It is the most fun show we do all day, all year long. And the highest rated webcast that the station does all year long, too, by the way.
You can stream it.
How many people come in? How many contestants?
Oh, usually about 10.
We usually have the top 10.
It's always different, but then we have the top 10.
And then where is this winner go? Where do I? How come I've never seen this?
Everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they come to us with us to Acoustic Christmas and
we roast singles parties.
Whatever
oh,
we do.
Whenever you guys leave,
whatever
we go.
Yeah.
So we have an event. Benefit from this.
Well,
we can have her come in.
Sure.
You know, next time you're in.
If Ralph's doing a podcast and he needs an assistant, he can make that happen.
I'm not a magician,
show,
dude.
Doesn't matter. I'm not
bring her to Babylon.
I'm not saying
I
really
just have her be your Alfred for the whole night.
Right. The current Miss Double December, Danielle, is just adorable and it couldn't be more sweet.
She just came with to our singles party this past weekend.
Yeah, we were in Vegas. So maybe we'll have her come down to the
Can we get her dressed like a butler?
Absolutely. But why would you want to?
For the Batman of it all.
I understand that.
You could dress in a smoking jacket. You could be Bruce Wayne.
You don't want to cover up.
You're missing the double D part.
We could paint the tuxedo on.
Now you're painting. Now we're talking. We're just a bow tie and the cuffs, like a Chippendale kind of outfit for her.
See, now you're thinking.
Kevin Smith, tell me about Too Fat for 40. This is new since the last time we had you on something called Epix.
Yeah,
is that Epix, a TV channel?
Epix is a TV channel along the lines of like a Showtime or an HBO. They just launched. It's a bunch of studios got together and figured out, why are we selling our stuff to somebody else? Let's just own the network. That's what's happening over and over.
So what kind of shows are on it?
Right now, they're the ones that have Star Trek, because Paramount's one of the people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Paramount, Lionsgate, I forget what the other company in there is. But they've been doing, aside from the movies, just showing movies and whatnot, they've got this brilliant component of, they do it on TV, old media, but they also do it on computer. So you can sit there and watch your entire library on your laptop.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Streaming and whatnot. Asked me to do a comedy special, and they've been doing amazing comedy. They did David Cross, they did Louis C.K.
Wow.
I was in Fantastic Company, and they said, you know, we know you do kind of comedy, or the Q&A thing. Do you want to do one of your evening with? And we turned it into this thing, Too Fat 40. That's what I shot on my birthday, and so it aired on Epix October 23rd. If you don't have Epix, you can go online and actually watch the show for free, because they give you a 14-day trial. EPIXHD.com. is such a good company. It totally, like, it makes sense in terms of, well, I think they're a great company because they gave me a show.
Sure.
Of course. I'm a little biased.
They
but
win.
Remove that, I just like the idea of what they're doing. Like, if you go to that website right now, the first thing that comes up is a wall of titles and images, and you're like, oh, this is all good stuff.
It's
like,
Paramount,
I like everything.
Lionsgate, MGM.
Is that what it
was?
Wow.
And you shot this at home, right? I mean,
it was in
New Jersey.
Count Basie Theater, Red Bank. If you ever saw the Threevening with Kevin Smith, we shot it there as well. So for the 40th birthday, I did the same thing, because it was literally a block from where I grew up.
So we could go up to the online site now and stream that?
Watch the whole thing, It was 4 hours. We cut it down to 2 for Epix, and then we'll release a DVD down the road or something.
Here's
but
the
it
thing.
Was really well received.
Kevin, how many questions did you cover that evening? Do you remember?
I had a personal goal for that thing of, like, it's called a Q&A, but let's literally make it a Q and an A question. one long answer.
For two
so
hours.
It was just one person for all the time.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see if I could string every story I wanted to tell together, and it kind of worked out. Cute little thing for me. The audience was irritated by it.
Sure.
We came to ask questions.
They were streaming towards the exit, but you had a good time.
I was enjoying myself.
The reason it's called Too Fat for 40, I guess, is because of the famous incident earlier in the year with you versus Southwest Airlines. Have you guys made up? I never got an update on that. Have you forgiven them? Have you flown with them since? Is everything cool or no?
Have the Jewish people made up with Hitler?
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying. To my, that is from hell's heart, I stabbed thee.
I'm not positive, but I think they haven't.
No. Everything, by all reports, no. And I'm certainly not saying that this is as bad as that, but it's the next one down.
It's right underneath.
They're horrible. I can't tell you how many people tweet me on a daily basis about their heartbreaking stories about, like,
really?
Just got booted. Yeah, it happens all the time. They're literally the anti-fat airline. Mm. Just, if you're over 200 pounds, steer clear of Southwest because you may get booted. I hate to bring the show down.
No,
this
is fun.
It's
good.
Yeah, just good. Packing in as many people as they can.
And I think they're a sponsor, too, so that's even better.
The opinions of Kevin Smith don't necessarily reflect the opinions of Kevin and me.
Yeah,
Kevin
exactly. It's not reflective at all. Just more reflexive. We're trying to submit to the Sundance Film Festival, Red State, since we're all done and whatnot. And there was a moment where it didn't look like, before we start production, people didn't think we'd make the deadline, but we certainly did because we were cutting the whole time.
Because the weed.
Weed definitely helped. Kids, you hear me? Wait till you're 38, then kick in.
Smoke
with the
up
weed.
Then.
But you got to build a life before that.
But when 38, you're 38,
go all in. Yeah, that's your second act, kids. Yeah. Trust me. But in submitting to Sundance, I realized I'm going to have to drive there because the official airline of Sundance is Nazi Air, SWA.
But now you've got the
swastika airline.
You've got the Smithmobile now, so you
I do, man. I got the bus,
that.
So I'll be down the ground, out a window. Curse you!
Ken's got his own rock and roll tour bus.
Is
now that
right?
Travels
like John Madden?
Oh,
I do. It's very much like the John Madden thing.
It is a gorgeous ultra cruiser.
It has been the source of the wellspring, if you will, of all the blessings of the last year. If you like the Smodcast network grew because of it, because we went out on the road, started doing livers, because I had this bus to myself.
And do you take that bus like if you just want to go to 7-Eleven from your house?
Yes. I'll go down there. I'm just like, do we need milk? And she's like, you could walk. And I'm like, no.
Got the bus,
people.
Out of the way.
It
takes to park.
40 minutes to park. Yeah. And then I get out grabbing them.
That was great. On the set where we were shooting Red State, Kevin would just park the bus near the set and he could live on there more or less the whole time we were shooting. And it was very convenient for him.
It sounds cool.
It is.
How many people can you fit in the bus?
It'll fit like 12 comfortably sleeping and probably.
How about if you're not one of them? How many days?
Oh, man.
What's wrong with you? And it'll fit. It's so sad. I obviously have an affliction being a disorder.
Bean senses that attack.
Yeah, it just goes right after.
Bean's disorder is to go after your disorder.
Truly.
That's the problem.
I can sense it. All right.
Kevin Smith is here. Buy tickets to see him and his bus along with Ralph Garman for Hollywood Babylon. By the way, a lot of times people don't say how much something is because it's expensive and they don't want to, you know, dampen the selling point.
Yes.
Your thing is only like $20, though, right? I mean, it's a tremendous deal, right?
What, the Hollywood Babylon show?
The Babylon show. What's a ticket?
We just, in this harsh economic climate, to help our listeners out, we actually raised the price by $5.
Yeah, it's $25.
So it's $25.
But I'm telling you, there's no better $25 entertainment
value.
That's
what I'm saying.
And granted, you can listen to the show for free 2 days later, but being in the room and being part of the show, that's
very different.
We all know
you'll get to ask no questions. Think about
that's right.
Exactly.
Smodcastle.com. It sounds like it. I'm not in town very often, but I definitely, Ralph would probably block me at the door like he does on Twitter, but I'd love to come down and see one of those shows in person.
Yeah, we're sold out that week.
I didn't tell you which week. I didn't say which week I was going to be there, Ralph. Don't even pretend.
More with Kevin Smith right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Kevin Smith is in studio, Hollywood Babylon, again tomorrow night. Tickets on sale through Smodcastle. We haven't seen Mr. Smith in a while because he's been off filming Red State.
I stole Ralph and ran away.
You did.
And I finally ran away together.
As I've always been threatening to
We've teased. Everyone thought we were always joking on air, but we literally ran away together.
How was it?
After like the first 3 days of amazing gayness, we were like, this is pretty gay.
Yeah. Boy, does this feel gay.
Yeah, this doesn't feel right.
No.
Hey, for others, it looks hot.
And our wives were happy.
No. Like, what are you doing?
I'm sure.
The joke.
We were just happy that Ralph came back. Our fear was that you were going to take him on the road and never return.
In the bus.
He got deprogrammed.
Tell me, I want to know, because we haven't really had a chance to talk much about Red State. We were kind of saving it up until you came in, Kevin. But I want to know from Ralph, who has worked with lots of other directors throughout his career, what's it like working with a guy like Kevin Smith, who really doesn't give you much direction other than that was good, do it again?
It's enormously freeing because you get the sense that he trusts you and that he brought you in to do your job. The casting was the job that he did and pulled the right people in, and then he lets you go. And like you said, he's looking for moments. So there are times he'll go back and ask for something specific if he feels like he hasn't had it. But if you have a certain amount of freedom, if you're not being micromanaged, you can – I mean, this doesn't necessarily hold true for me because I didn't have, you know, big chunks of dialogue and stuff to worry about.
Right.
But there are some performances in the film where he let these people go, and magic sometimes happens in that scenario because they don't feel hemmed in by someone who is micromanaging their performance. And so really wonderful accidents can happen when you work like that.
So there's a wonderful accident, and then Kevin would go, just a minute, I'll be right back, I'm going to go edit it. Then he would run to the bus and edit.
Luckily, he would wait until we were done for the day.
All right, let's go again.
Start editing.
What the listener couldn't see was me over here, like as Ralph was talking, mimicking everything he said right before he said it.
Feeding him line by line. Right.
Yeah.
He's speaking in my ear.
Please move along. There's nothing to see here.
Was it difficult being such good friends and having now all of a sudden, for the first time, I'm the boss, I'm the employee? Did that happen?
It doesn't really work like that.
No, Kevin's not much of a taskmaster or a general on the set. He's pretty much everybody's buddy on the set, so it's a very relaxed situation.
It's the job
and you don't
of being a director.
For crap.
Yeah, he couldn't direct. Garmin's like Val Kilmer. He's just legendarily tough to direct.
All over the place.
For me, it's just like I've gotten to this stage of the game in my life with the career that you realize it's better. You're going to get better work if you just kind of lay the responsibility back on every artisan, craftsman, filmmaker that you're working with.
But that has to backfire occasionally.
I don't know. It hasn't yet.
It hasn't yet.
No, I mean...
Well, you're also not hiring Tara Reid to be in your movies either,
that helps,
by the way.
Too. On this flick...
She turned him down, by the way, for this one.
Yeah, we went out for her, but she was like, a Kevin Smith movie?
No way.
And I was just like, all right, well, fair enough. since we had our cash before we had a single cast member... we had the luxury of John Gordon, our producer, was just like, I said at one point, who should we go after? I said, I know I want Michael Parks, but who else should we go after around him? He goes, we don't have to go after anybody. We have our money. Usually you go after people to secure your money. We've got our money.
Oh,
so
I
let's
see.
Just cast the movie. Like, what would you want to do? And it was weird because I'd never had that since Clerks, really. Or maybe Chasing Amy was the last time I really got to do that where 100% of it across the board was not a consideration towards who's going to be able to get on the Tonight Show later on.
Right.
Right.
How many people, how much press this person gets. And this was all in a pre-Twitter environment at that point.
Yeah.
So for us, it was just like, wow, how ideal to just cast a movie with cool actors that you've always liked and stuff you've seen. And not like I've always wanted to work with them, but I've got all these roles to fill. And suddenly I'm like, instead of reaching into a family of people I've worked with before or the same repertory, just going like, let's ask this cat. Like, let's ask John Goodman if he wants to do it. And then John Goodman says yes. And let's ask this cat.
Well,
and this cat
says yes. Explain for people
and
who don't.
There was no studio executive that you had to
nobody
count to
answer.
To.
Nobody
had
like,
a list.
Yeah.
Pick from this list.
Yeah, here's 18 names. You know, go crazy. You have utter freedom with these 18 names.
For people who don't know, explain Red State.
Red State, it's tough to explain. We haven't even explained it yet. It's a little horror. I keep calling it a horror movie. Some people disagree with me. And then I remind people, I've been making horror movies since Jersey Girl. it's about a fundamentalism, religious fundamentalism gone awry. And it takes place kind of in the heartland. And it's kind of a thriller at the same time. I don't know. It's badass. If you go to smodcast.com, there's a new podcast that we created called Red State of the Union. And what we did the other night at Smodcastle was I took the teaser. We have like a 1 minute and change teaser that I put together.
Right.
Where it's just essentially you hear Michael Parks' main character singing the whole time, but it's a barrage of imagery. And the imagery doesn't look like anything you've ever seen from the likes of me. So we threw it up on the screen and had a Q&A with the audience afterwards, recorded it. And then put it online, and the reaction to it is amazing because basically people are just listening to a teaser, not even seeing it, and film being a visual medium, that's already kind of backwards.
Yeah.
And then they're listening to people's reaction to what those people in the room did see, and they get more enthusiastic because they're like, well, that sounds like, oh, man, I want to see what they're talking about. This could only be created through weed. You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of thing you sit there, stone your house, go like, wouldn't it be fun to show the teaser, record reaction? Let's see if it works. And we put it up, dude. Not a single press, news site, anybody had any mention of it for 24 hours with the exception of one site called Video ETA, this lovely little homegrown site, dude updates on DVDs coming out. Dude ran a story going like, nobody else has ever done this before. We went
Very
to
cool.
number one in TV film on iTunes podcast and number two overall.
Wow.
Without any help, dude. Just put it out there and tweeted about it, and people just kept self-generating stuff. Number two overall, dude. Of all the podcasts in the world.
That's amazing.
We were just below This American Life. How popular is that show?
huge.
Just, yeah, it's huge.
One slot more popular than yours.
Apparently. Just, we're almost there.
That's very impressive.
All right, if you, my point being, if you go and download that, you'll hear the teaser, you'll hear what it's like, you'll hear everyone talking about it, and they'll do a far better job than I will.
But for those who are wondering, I mean, we're not talking about the film all that much, but it is unlike anything Kevin has ever done before, certainly. And I think unlike any movie that I've seen in general. It is a very dark ride, don't get me wrong, but I think people will be alternately fascinated and repulsed and interested and scared. It's got a lot going on for
it. It's very much about America. It's a true American
film. Westboro Baptist Church, the guys who, you know, pick at the dead soldiers' funerals, will they pick at the opening of this movie because it's too close to real life?
I mean, Megan Phelps has indicated as much, and the Phelps family also indicated as much, because in an early interview I gave, I said that, hey, our lead bad guy is kind of a leap-off point for me. For the bad guy was Fred Phelps from the Westboro Baptist Church. I was telling him that I'd seen... My friend Malcolm did a documentary called Small Town Gay Bar, and he interviewed Fred Phelps. And in the midst of the documentary, it was like terrifying stuff, because the dude is just calm, serene, very grandfatherly, patronly, spreading hate rhetoric. Yeah. And I was like, Malcolm, let me watch your raw footage. How long was the interview? He's like, I got him for an hour and a half, and you never really get Phelps for that long.
Yeah.
And I watched it from end to end, and I swear to you, it was pants-wettingly eerie. Because he is so calm, but the things that are coming out of his mouth are so filled with hate. Wow. And if you go near something, like Malcolm asked him about, like, don't you have, like, children that have kind of left the church altogether and turned their back on you? And he gets real quiet, and there's like a half minute of silence. And then he finally goes, we won't be talking about that, Brother Malcolm. Real low. And I was like, this dude is Darth Vader, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
This dude is Adolf Hitler. And all those things wrapped in one. And I was like, all right, I'm going to use him as the leaping off point. Now, I'm sure they'll pick it,
you should invite them. Send them invitations.
Hey, we don't need them. The movie's that good. I don't need this kind of help. This movie's so good, I'm daring the press not to write about it. But anyway, we don't need. I don't need that kind of pressure. And I think if they saw it, and I told Megan online yesterday, I was like, if you guys agree not to pick it or sue, I'll show you the movie for nothing, like right now and stuff like that. But if they see it, I think they would easily be like, yeah, this has nothing to do with us. Really? Nobody is ever going to want to stand up and be like, I feel represented by these people.
They might.
Not even those cats. All right. I think even those cats would be like, yeah, that's not us.
Yeah. All right.
Those people are really over the edge. Can they miss an opportunity to show up at your premiere with a sign that says, God hates fats? I mean, come on.
You're on a weak roll. This is what I'm talking about. Garmin went away. Bean had a lot more room. And he's like, hey, everybody, I got a book of fat jokes. Here's one I pulled out.
Got a
shoehorn
in.
Kevin Smith's boobs as big as his butt. Everybody, nothing?
Nothing.
All right. Showbiz Beat is coming up.
Hold on. Let me finish that.
Yes.
They did pick at me already. I did a show that Phelps did. I did a show in Kansas City at the Midland Theater, and they cited me as a, they called me, and I don't want to offend anybody with the term, but this is what they labeled me, a quote-unquote fag enabler. That's why they picketed me.
That's their big thing.
Kevin Smith, fag enabler. So essentially, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you're gay, come to Smodcastle. Because I will enable them. Yeah, I will. I'm going to hook you up. It's like a bathhouse at Smodcastle. Come on down, man. Me and Frank Garmin over here.
But we do the show wrapped in towels, if that means anything.
I don't like to get a Schmitz.
Either. And she married Kyle Bowler, quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. She announced that she is going to have a baby.
Why didn't she like the gays? How do you know this?
She's
super, super right wing, uptight,
and made a big deal at the Miss California USA pageant when they asked what she thought of gay marriage.
She
went on a long diatribe while marriage should only be between a man and a woman, and started a big press brouhaha over it. And has since become sort of a poster girl for the right wing regarding this particular subject.
And pretty
subject
at the same
matter.
Time.
She's very pretty. And you're going to love this, Smith, because she was going to sue the pageant for all sorts of things for defaming her in the press and everything like that. And then apparently somebody came up with a masturbation tape that she'd done.
Stop it!
It was a hot sex tape that was released with her starring her. And some nude photos that she had taken also earlier in her modeling career.
This is so great. What a great story.
What was her answer about the nude photos, the topless photos?
She said the photographer took advantage of her because the wind blew her vest open and he snapped some shots while that happened. She didn't even know she was exposed.
So not only is she bigoted, she's stupid as well?
Yes.
And she got fired from that position of the pageant. They let her go because she wouldn't make the appearances.
Right. What do you mean? Exactly. She just wouldn't go to
She wouldn't show up.
Wouldn't go
to anything.
Wow. Yeah, she's
and then
a
she was going to sue them.
Well, that aspect of her I could get behind.
Sure.
You know, she's hired for the job. She's like, that's it. Sure. I've accomplished. Why do I have to keep going? This work thing. You expect me to do it every day.
I don't want to go open a supermarket. Yeah. I don't want to be Miss California.
Yeah, I won. That's it. I'm a winner. Goodbye.
Anyway, they're having a baby. When asked what sex was going to be, Carrie said, it'll be a bigot. So.
Oh, really? Wow. Wait, she married a football player?
Great. Yes, yeah.
Oh, let's stop talking about her.
He's a quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Like I said, she's a bigot.
But an Oakland Raider.
Oh, well, he's close.
But he doesn't start. Careful. He doesn't even start for the Raiders.
Are we in or out?
David Bowie in the news. Apparently, they were talking to his wife, Iman. You know, he's married a supermodel, Iman.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were asking when his next music's going to come out. He hasn't released anything since 2003. Mm. An album called Reality, which was one of the best reviews albums of that year.
Was
and
that
of,
the publicly
of his
traded album? Remember when he sold himself on the stock exchange or something?
Anyway, his wife Iman said, don't expect music from Bowie again.
Ever?
Anytime soon.
Huh.
Apparently, he is already a painter, a sculptor. He's writing. He's got a book coming out. He's a father, on top of that, of a 10-year-old child.
She's like, he's good with plumbing. He's, one time I saw him catch a fly and put it outside alive. He's a humanist. He's, has a list of things that
David is very, very busy.
Yoko, take it easy.
Iman says, in respect to her husband's music output. So, although apparently he has released one track on his website, that is new.
Okay.
And so, Iman sent some people to the site if you wanted to hear his new single.
I'm always really busy. I'm always really busy. I'm really very busy. I'm extra special busy.
What about
I'm always really busy.
Yeah. Okay.
I stay very busy. I'm always really busy. Very, very, very busy.
Okay, I think
sing it if you know it.
I'm always very busy.
Maybe it's good that he doesn't make
every
any more music.
Every day I'm very busy. Yeah. I'm always very busy. I keep myself real busy. I'm always very busy. I'm always very busy. I'm always very busy. Every day I'm very busy.
Very, very busy man.
Lots of things keep me busy. I'm always very busy. So full, my schedule's busy. I'm always very busy.
I need to download the lyrics for this.
Busy, 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 busy. I'm always very busy. I'm extra special busy.
Yeah, I think we understand now what Iman was getting at.
Wow.
That guy's busy.
I see him singing that dressed as Jareth from Labyrinth.
Oh,
with the
I
big bulge.
Movie,
yeah, who doesn't?
Let's take a look at any celebrity birthdays real quick. Singer Neil Young is 65 years old today.
Neil Young, man. Keep me searching for a heart of gold.
That's right.
Terrible singer.
Not
that guy
nearly nasally enough. Gotta be way more whiny.
I was throwing a little Kev on that one.
Singer Tevin Campbell.
Tevin Campbell. Nothing comes from dreaming but dreams.
Wow.
Thank you. Who's next?
Yeah. Megan Mullally.
She doesn't have a song.
No, she doesn't.
I was on Will and Grace.
She's 52. Ryan Gosling is
30. She's 52?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's good for 52.
Yeah, very.
Ryan Gosling's 30 years old.
Hell of an actor.
And Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
She's 28 years old today. He's got a new movie coming out called Love and Other Drugs.
She's pretty.
Check her out. She's a pretty
That's
girl.
The chick who's in the Meryl Streep movie, right?
Yes,
the Devil
that's
Wears
right.
Prada.
Yeah.
She's also 99
in
Get Smart with Steve Carell.
Oh,
she looked great in that film.
She's a good actress. You know, she was in, what was that movie, Rachel Getting Married?
Oh.
Oh,
she was Oscar nominated.
Yeah, she was amazing in that movie, and that movie is such a good watch.
Happy birthday, Ann. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you'd have asked me at any time in the last 10 years, who do I know that would be least likely to write a book? Well, Kevin, first of all, obviously.
How dare you.
But once I got over the shock of Kevin writing a book, I might have said Adam Carolla. I might have been most surprised to see the Ace Man write a book, but he has done it, and it is out now, and it is a huge bestseller. In 50 years, we'll all be chicks and other complaints from an angry middle-aged white guy. Ladies and gentlemen, best-selling author, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, get it on.
Hey, Adam. Get it on. Adam is going to be at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove in Los Angeles tomorrow afternoon, signing copies of his book at 3 o'clock. Now, I assume you're doing an afternoon signing because you have plans with your love partner, Jimmy Kimmel, for his birthday tomorrow night, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, what the hell are we doing?
Mm.
I'm
sure it involves karaoke.
You know, you guys know Jimmy as well as I do. You also know my buddy Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
AKA
sure.
The Wheeze.
Sure.
Donnie has the horrible misfortune of having his birthday land on the same day as Jimmy's every year, naturally.
So no one cares about him?
Well, whose party do you think we go to every year?
Yeah.
And Donnie's in the same circle. He has all the same friends.
Yeah.
So Donnie, if he's lucky, gets invited to Jimmy's party. If not, he just sits home and cries.
And curses Jimmy's name.
Bowl of bouillon.
You have been doing these in-store signings around the country, and I've seen some of the photos that you've tweeted. And, I mean, you're getting, like, the New York Barnes & Noble, you're at huge turnouts for these book signings, right?
Yeah, it's been a real surprise. I mean, I'm not exactly Michael Crichton, so I didn't know that is a guy who writes books.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. I really had no idea, and everyone has been great. And to be on the New York Times bestseller list and all that stuff, it's been insanity.
Adam, tell people about your schooling, which you mention in the book, and your skills in language.
Well, it's funny because Ralph actually coined the phrase of the schooling that I attended back in the day, which was it was just sort of a hippie school. It was one of those 70s Billy Jack hippie schools.
Billy Jack.
That's a great reference.
Well, it prepares you. I mean, if there's an apocalyptic future where we're all living underground, you're fine, but you have to go out into the workforce and get a job and fill out an application. It's not such a great place to attend. But
right.
Ralph always just called it the free range school.
Yeah.
And we all just ran around and threw dirt clods at each other.
Right.
And that was it. And I just never learned to read or write. Thus, I always thought the most important thing you needed to know for writing a book, I mean, talent-wise, was the actual writing of the book. I didn't know you could just hire a guy to type while you talk.
Sure.
Right.
And talking you know about.
Talking I knew about, but it was so weird that psychologically I could never be a writer because I couldn't spell.
Now, till what age?
My whole life.
I
just wrote this book, a year ago just because someone came up to me and told me to write it. And let me just tell everyone, I'll just be honest. Like when people say, and what made you decide to do Dancing with the Stars? Or what made you decide to write a book? Or what? If somebody came up and said, hey, you want some money to do this?
Yeah, well.
You don't get guys off a roof and go, what made you decide to be a roofer?
Sure.
You just. Someone gives you some money and you do it.
Exactly. And here's why the book is great for anyone who's ever enjoyed the Kevin and Bean Show, because we've been lucky enough to know Adam for a long, long time. For 15 years or something like that, he's been coming on the show on and off. And everything that gets under his skin, it doesn't matter if it's as important as the President of the United States or as unimportant as how long it takes to microwave a bowl of chili. I mean, whatever it is that he's raging about, he somehow figured out a way to write about and put in the book. And I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this because I know you, Ace Man. Every page is hilarious. I mean, you really nailed this thing. It's a great book.
Well, I had, it's funny because you think about all the bands that have come and gone and how great their first albums have been.
Right.
And how their second albums have sucked.
Sure.
Because they were nursing a head full of songs for 20 years before their first album came out. And then their second album came out 4 months later.
Right, but
they didn't have any material.
But you're still in the honeymoon period after your first, your first record. So take it easy.
Yeah, no, I'm just telling you, the next book's going to suck.
Right,
it's going to blow. Right,
don't focus on that.
All right, now I have to ask you about this. Because you've been doing probably more publicity for this than anything you've ever done in your whole career, I would imagine.
Sure.
Have you found yourself on shows? Like, I saw you on Kathy Lee's TV show the other day, and I thought, what in the hell is going on? What kinds of places have you had to go to promote this book as a best-selling author?
Well, you know, well, first off, if you have a gay publicist, then you'll go to all the shows they like.
Right.
Like, it was really funny because they, you know, my gay publicist would start putting me up in these hoity-toity hotels where there was, like, always say long on attitude and short on square footage.
Right.
And I, at a certain point, I had to sit him down and go, I'm not you. I'm not gay. You would enjoy this hotel that just has one huge letter in front of it, but I don't want that. I want some square footage, and I want a fat guy with a double chin who doesn't have attitude, not a guy in a mock turtleneck wearing a headset, rolling his eyes because I asked where the ice bucket was. But I said, use your brain. Like, I wouldn't go, like, this guy's gay and his name is Alex. I wouldn't go, oh, man, I love NASCAR. I got to put him up at this NASCAR-themed hotel. He's going to love it. No, I would know, and I want to say this to all gays. We're straight. We don't like what you like. Stop saying, oh, he's going to love this. He's going to die for this. But the same way, like, if there's a Ted Nugent Lodge, I wouldn't go, oh, my queer friends are going to love this. I like hunting with a crossbow. I know you don't.
Right.
Can't the gays do that, man?
See,
do that math for us.
You've already got a chapter written for the follow-up book. In 50 years, we'll all be chicks. By the way, I think that's optimistic, the way this country is going, Adam, and especially after reading your book. I think in 4 months, we're all going to be chicks the way we're going right now.
I came up with the title almost 40 years ago, Bean.
Yeah. You can meet Adam Carolla in person, shake his hand, get a photo, have him sign a copy of your book at the Barnes & Noble at The Grove in Los Angeles. That's going to be tomorrow, starting at around 3 o'clock. Now, is that a couple hundred people show up, something like that? You'll sign everybody.
I will sign everybody's book who comes out. I promise you.
What kind of person comes out to your signings, Adam?
You know, it's weird, but you know, all shapes and sizes, from white male to white male.
Wow,
it's
all, you know, quite a spectrum.
Yeah, no, it's really all over the place, because people get sort of indoctrinated, you know, the chicks say, I didn't want to listen, and then my boyfriend forced me to.
Right, right.
And now I got to get him the copy and blah, blah, blah.
Here's what's troubling, is that Adam takes on everything that I just accept at face value as life.
That's how it goes.
Right, and then he starts doing comedy, and I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? And then by the end of the chapter, I'm like, he's totally right. I'm on his side now.
Exactly.
So it's fantastic. You should get the book. We're going to take a quick break. It's called In 50 Years, We'll All Be Chicks. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with This Week in Rage.
Okay.
Yeah.
With Mr.
AdamCarolla.com, that's the website you want to go to for all things Ace Man, including upcoming live appearances. Download and listen to all the podcast book information. In 50 years, we'll all be chicks, available in stores and online now. You can meet Adam tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble at The Grove, and you can listen right now on the Kevin and Bean Show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Starting at 3, working my way down to number 1. Well, number 3, something I just discovered. I've done Kimmel's show 40 times, literally.
Right.
But I did it on Monday, and I was standing in the green room. I was in my dressing room, and they put you up in the dressing room, and they put a little fruit platter out there and a little mini fridge. And you stand there, and you look at the pictures on the wall of all the greats who have done the show before you.
Right.
And as you're pacing around, I'm the lead guest, and you're, oh, there's Will Ferrell, and there's Robert Downey Jr., and there's Jennifer Aniston, and there's Tom Cruise. Picture Jimmy laughing it up with Tom Cruise.
Sure.
And then you pause, and you think, I bet he wishes he had one of them tonight. I know everyone who works on this show would trade me out for any one of these people in a New York minute. And then I thought, if you go to The Tonight Show, whatever show you go to, the
your dressing room will be lined with stars they would have rather had.
Yeah.
And it's not a great message to have. Do you have a bunch of, at your house, does your wife have a bunch of pictures of her having a good time with her old boyfriends who she liked more than you?
That's
and
a good
better
point.
Hung?
That's a good point, yeah.
Put some picture. How about a picture like the guy who played Enos from Dukes of Hazzard?
That's a great point. You're absolutely right. Because if we walked into work this morning and all over the halls, here's Ryan Seacrest and here's Howard Stern, we'd feel like, well, they settled for us. I know what you're saying.
Right. Had they been able to pony up the cash, those guys would be sitting where you're sitting right now. I know it's just weird. And they're laughing and having a good time. And you're sure. Like, God, I bet he wishes he had Matt Damon walking out there right now. And boy, is the audience going to be devastated when I come walking out of there instead of Tom Cruise.
So it's undercutting your confidence. That's what you're saying.
Toss up the guy who played Gopher or Jeff Dunham or somebody, you know, just somebody I can feel good about.
And Jimmy right. not having fun with them.
Yeah, I'd like to see a face where Jimmy looked a little disappointed, right. The guest looked uncomfortable.
Kind of bored.
Not only are you not going to be Tom Cruise or Ben Affleck, but you're never going to have this kind of party out on stage. Right. Look at them. They're having the times of their life. It's a love affair. It's full blown. So don't need to see that in
all
the
right.
dressing room.
All right.
Number two flew Boston to Philly, had this guy on the plane. It was... me flying with one of my friends, and we asked the guy if he could swap seats with us.
So you can hold hands?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy gave the no. I cannot swap. He wasn't sitting with his wife or anything. He was traveling alone. We were sitting on the same aisle, and I just said, "Hey, I'm sitting against the window." He was sitting on the aisle. Could we just swap seats so I could lean across the aisle and talk to my friend?
Right.
And the guy said, no can do. I don't sit against the window. I don't sit in the window seat. And then my friend piped up and he said, well, what if I just move all together? I'll give you the whole row because no one's sitting next to me. And the guy said, yeah, I'll take that deal. So my friend came over to my side and he walked over to my friend's side. And guess which seat he sat in?
The window?
The window. For 3 hours.
Yeah. He's a negotiator.
He just hated you.
And what message is he sending? It's the weirdest thing in the world. And as angry as I am at this guy, don't you wish you had just 1 ounce of that in
yes.
you?
Yes.
Don't you wish
yes,
you could
I
just
do.
Walk mm-hmm. through life carefree? Just like a dog that's going to lick itself in front of the queen. I don't care. We didn't switch planes or switch aisles or do anything. He just looked at us, sat against the window, and went to bed.
He wins.
I think he would have done it for Tom Cruise or Will Ferrell, though.
Oh,
I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. They're having such a party with Jimmy out there. Those had to be staged. I've seen the show. No one's had that much fun on that show. And number one, I'll tell you, you want to talk about a bubble burster. I was feeling pretty good about myself. The book came out a week ago or so. I got up on Tuesday morning when it came out. I went right to Amazon. I said, how are we doing? I looked it up. We're in the top 20.
All right.
I said, that's awesome. I had 5-star reviews. I said, that's awesome. Then I scrolled down. 4 used books for sale.
All right.
Already?
The book had not been out for 20 minutes.
So somebody bought it and then turned around and tried to sell it?
Somebody basically just, I mean, in order to do that, you'd have to stand by your front door when the UPS guy dropped off the book that you pre-ordered. You'd have to go, hold up.
Take it back right now.
Let me just wipe my ass with it. Here you go. Take it right on back. How can you have used books less than 24 hours before the thing comes out? And here's the thing that's insane. I'm staring at the Amazon page right now. You can buy a new book, from $12.77, or you could buy a used one for $16.01.
What? They're marking it up?
Used by who, by the way? Steve McQueen? Elvis? Harold Ford? What famous luminary owned this book before? Or has it just got your DNA on it? Here's my plan. I am going to buy these 4 used books. I'm going to get a DNA swatch off them. I'm putting them in my data bank, and I'm going after these mothers.
I like it.
Well, that would be a great TV show. What's up? Not funny enough for you? You don't have a friend who might enjoy this book? You don't have a wobbly coffee table? What's up?
Well done. In 50 years, we'll all be chicks. Buy it on Amazon if you want, or better still, go down and meet Adam Carolla yourself at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. He'll be signing copies at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Ace Man, great to catch up with you. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, man.
So a big announcement Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Another big announcement Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Those involve live music that happens this time of year. I can say no more.
Acoustic.
Also Christmas. Monday morning.
You don't have
we'll
to say anymore with Kevin.
Acoustic Christmas.
We'll be rolling out. We'll be. By the way, Kevin will never be waterboarded because he will give up whatever information they are asking for as they are leading him into the room to waterboard him. Also, Monday, bright and early, we'll have details on Miss Double December 2011.
Miss Double December.
I actually just said that. Oh. I tried to hide that one back. First, though, huge sporting event this weekend. Lots of sports going on, obviously. The NHL season is underway. The NBA is underway. The NFL is underway.
The MLS.
Did I say that? Oh, yeah, MLS. but there's a huge fight this weekend in Texas. We had Andrew Siciliano on earlier today talking about the new Manny Pacquiao fight. He is fighting Antonio Margarito at Cowboy Stadium in Dallas. And, Kevin, explain to the folks why this is a controversial fight, even for non-boxing fans, why this is one that has a little bit of human interest drama in it.
Well, there's two reasons. One, because this dude's a cheater. Margarito was found with, like, blocks of cement in his gloves. And then the other is that Freddie Roach, who is a very, very beloved boxing manager. What do you call him? Trainer.
Yeah. Trainer.
Has Parkinson's, and he's got the shakes a little
right.
bit. And Margarito was on video, and the video came out, and he was doing the whole shaky thing, and he was making fun of him. And everybody loves Freddie Roach, and so all of a sudden now it was just this outcry, and apparently he's apologized, and who knows? It's gone crazy.
You don't mock Manny's trainer, Freddie Roach, that's for sure. I know we don't, because we got a lot of respect for Mr. Roach. In fact, he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Freddie. Welcome back to the program. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
We're doing fine. It's kind of a shame, I think, to have this kind of controversy about your condition even being a factor leading up to the fight. But then again, it gets a lot of people interested. A lot of people really want to see your boy really take down Margarito tomorrow night.
Yeah, these guys are lowlifes, you know? And I don't say anything bad about nobody.
Right.
But these guys are assholes.
Right.
Yeah. And it's disgusting what they say about a guy. You know, I pray to God they never have to go through what I go through. And what they said was just disgusting in my opinion. And I think a lot of people are going to be upset with them. And I hope that Manny really takes care of business tomorrow night.
Right. So, did you see the video personally? Is it something you watched, or have you just heard about it?
Yeah, I saw it, you know, and I wish I could get in a ring with these guys. You know, that's how angry it made me.
Right.
It's just not right to make fun of someone who's got a disease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would they like it if I, you know, I was training on video and I covered myself with cactus needles and said, oh, look, I just crawled across the border, you know? They wouldn't like that, probably.
No.
I'd like to see that, though. I think that'd be funny.
What if I dumped a water bucket on my head and said, oh, I just swam the Rio Grande. Oh, INS, run, run, run. You know, these guys probably wouldn't like that.
They probably wouldn't.
Kind of a cheap shot.
What if I got in the ring with a leaf blower and said, hey, look at me.
Yeah, I don't
think. Hey, look, I'm a Mexican college graduate.
Right. I don't think.
You know?
It probably wouldn't like well.
That. Yeah. That would probably make them angry.
It probably
but
would.
But I would never do that.
Right.
No,
I
never
be rude.
Say nothing bad about nobody.
Right, you're a classy guy.
Because these guys are assholes.
Hey, who's laughing with you there at the gym today? I thought I heard somebody in the background there.
That's Manny's sparring partner, Omar.
Oh, Omar. Got a guy named Omar.
Wow, yeah. That's weird.
He's got a bomb in both gloves, they say, around the gym. And we're not kidding. It's not even
an actual bomb.
Yeah.
That's great.
So what about any fears that Antonio Margarito is going to be trying to cheat again? You know, that famous fight where they revealed that he had cement in his glove. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, he's come forward. He's admitted that he's a cheater. He wrapped his wraps in cement before he put the gloves on.
Right.
So, obviously, we'll be keeping a close eye on him. But Manny, just to be careful, is going to fill his jockstrap with cement. Just to make sure there's no low blows or anything.
I see,
you know?
Okay. Oh, wow. Seems like it'll be a little harder to move.
Yeah, but it's not a lot of cement. Not a lot really to cover down there so much. He's good, you know, Filipino. You know, his dad ate his dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a
sad story.
Sad story, yeah.
I have nothing bad to say about nobody, but that guy's an asshole.
Yeah,
I think you're right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Yeah. And it is 8:55.
So a disagreement breaks out over the price of a lawnmower, mm-hmm. and a man is forced at knife point mm-hmm. to eat his own. I'm going to let you think about that for a minute, and we'll tell you the story coming up after the top of the hour in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are not going to want to miss this one. That is on the way. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I'm guessing sandwich. Of course, he eat his own sandwich.
Yes.
Oh, how dare they?
How did you know?
Disgusting. The Kardashians are ticking off.
Glendale.
People left and right. Apparently, Kim, Khloe, and Courtney were paid $25,000 each to do a three-hour appearance at a club called Pasha, but slipped out the back door after 45 minutes.
Oh.
Slipped out the back door, Mike.
Sorry.
Oh.
Did 45 minutes of a three-hour engagement. They were being paid $25,000 to be. It's a nightclub. You know what they have to do? Show up and drink.
Yeah.
That's all they had to do. Couldn't be bothered. Split. So Pasha gets on the horn and says, hey, Kardashians.
What about that three-hour thing?
How about the rest of the time? So they return, but they only did an hour. And then they left.
Wow.
They're getting paid $25,000 to do 3 hours.
Show up and sit at a club for 3 hours. Pasha, I will come. And I'll do 4 hours for $25,000. I'll make you that deal.
There
okay,
you
there you go, Pasha.
I do that in spend money.
That's true. Kevin spends $25,000 and then says, "We need a party bus. Everybody get a party bus."
We had a lot of people.
Amber Portwood of Teen Mom. Familiar with Amber of Teen Mom?
Yeah, watch that a Teen little Mom. Bit.
She's not happy because Child Protective Services showed up and took away her daughter Leah.
Oh.
Apparently, she is trying to pull her life together with the help of counseling and medication, Amber says now. But she says it's the lowest of the low, said the star of Teen Mom. Listen, if you've watched any episodes of Teen Mom, you know there should be sort of like a Dateline NBC team outside every one of their homes whisking all those kids away.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the specifics were, Ralph. Do you know there's something that aired on the TV of her losing her temper with her kid, but what actually happened? Do you know?
Well, she was the one who beat her husband up.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Oh, right.
It was domestic violence in the home where she several times physically attacked her husband.
Okay.
And so naturally, Child Protective Services was concerned about violence in the home perhaps being directed towards the child. And I think Dr. Drew said at the time, this, you know, it's just a matter of time before eventually this spills over and affects your child. So.
Right.
They swooped in and took care of the baby, which is good news. But seriously, any one of those moms could easily qualify. Chris Hansen should show up and say, "So, you hit your husband. Your child's free to leave." And then the door opens and the cops come in and just whisk the kid away. Just scary.
Teenagers plus babies. Just not an ideal combination, I don't think.
Nope. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer in the news. He's being sued by a guy who worked with him, claiming he left his job at the Cesar Millan Foundation to get treatment for alcoholism and then was fired.
Did Cesar do it by saying,
"Yeah, every time he took a drink, he went to take a drink. I can't." He said it wasn't fair because he went to get healthy. When he came back, he was told he had to take a pay cut if he wanted to stay, and his title was stripped of him. And then he said he was given the choice to take that or leave altogether. And so apparently he was given the boot, and now he is suing for unspecified damages in LA Superior Court.
Hmm. Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's right. The size of the wolf in the hunt.
That is true. One more time. Rosario Dawson.
Oh.
Is a big star, but sometimes even big stars have to lobby for a role. Apparently she is a diehard Trekker.
She wants to be a diehard?
What? She loves Star Trek. She wants to be in the next Star Trek movie.
Okay. So let her be.
Let her have
so
it.
So much so that she has started an online petition via Twitter.
Just give it to her.
And she wants to get the fans of the series behind her so she can get a role on Star Trek.
Yes, done.
Yeah,
you
you're in charge.
You don't really have that power.
Yeah, you are not J.J. Abrams, Bean. You are not allowed to make
very
that
close,
happen.
Though.
But I can't see why. So, I mean, this, it sounds to me like, why would anyone say no to this idea? It's so perfect. Do it.
I'm just saying,
just
there may not be a role for her in
JJ,
the next
listening?
Story.
Let's do it.
Then write one.
You know what they should
then
do?
Let her be Spock if they have to.
Give her a role.
Let her be Spock.
Or make it like a hideous Klingon bitch or something with a giant forehead and tons of makeup and everything. Ha ha. So no one knows it's Rosario Dawson.
Isn't that what they did with Whoopi Goldberg when she was on The Next Generation?
No, they just put a hat on her.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, that's all.
By the way, we have to discuss at some point how Psycho Mike can literally share a wall, live next door to Rosario Dawson, and not make any attempt whatsoever to date her. What's wrong with that dude?
Attempt to date her? She lives there with a dude. By the way, who's
not
rich and handsome.
Buff like you, dude.
No, he's
come
not.
Come on,
but he is handsome.
You've got game. Come on, Mike.
He doesn't have that
go,
game.
At least try.
He doesn't have that kind of game.
Rosario Dawson is his next door
I know,
neighbor.
But it takes a special kind of game if she's living with a dude.
I'm just saying.
I'm discovering more and more that Mike holds back all the important things in his life. I never knew Rosario Dawson lived next door to him. I didn't know about these other jobs that he's taken, some really cool career things. He's mum on that stuff. Yeah. Try to get him to shut up about where he poops or what kind of
the
essence he's
stuff.
Spreading on his carpet or you know what he does to his shoe. I mean, try to get him to stop talking about that stuff. Good luck.
Having sex with a couch.
But the interesting things that go on in his life, you don't get any iota from
the
him.
Problem is that my priorities are all effed up. Like, that's the stuff that I find cool, and I'm trying to like spread that out.
I'd be more interested to know that you live next door to Rosario Dawson than I would be that you had to empty your bowels on your parents' lawn, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying.
Well, I mean, dumb then.
Yeah, if I lived next door to Rosario Dawson and I were younger,
you would do nothing.
Guy, now hold on. If
don't
I'm Psycho
you even
Mike,
start?
Let me finish a goddamn sentence. If I'm Psycho Mike and I'm a young, good-looking guy, I spend all my time thinking about, all right, the next time I run into her, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to have something to say to her that is going to get her to like me and then eventually have sex with me. That would be my goal right now.
Yeah.
What's up with Mike?
Okay. The first time I met her, when she was actually moving in, I said, I had one conversation.
I pooped on my parents' lawn.
And I said,
that's the first thing you told me.
Hey, and
do you have any good poop stories?
I
had sex with a couch.
I said, hey, I'm a
Gilda bum.
Nice to meet you. I'm a big fan. And she said, oh, thank you. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And that was it. That was the extent. Next time I saw her, she was walking hand in hand with her very handsome, clearly very successful boyfriend.
Right.
So from then on out, I was like, oh, enjoy your life.
Introduce yourself to the boyfriend. But get buddies with him, and then you start insinuating your way in between them.
There's a lot of angles
putting
here.
In the jaws of life there to separate those two. You know what I'm saying?
Did Garmin let the speed bump that Charlize was married to stand in the way of their love? No. He just powered through.
And look what happened.
Okay.
They broke up. I broke them up.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
She's
no longer dating that guy.
And then
that's right.
And then
well,
she came a knocking.
It's moving kind of slowly.
Oh, I didn't know she came
a
knocking.
Yeah, but my van was already a rocking.
I see.
So it didn't really matter. I got good stories here that I can't do. We'll have to wait for 45 minutes from now. Come on back. Or stick around, even. That's another option, I suppose.
It's not one I would choose. But
celebrity birthdays. Singer Neil Young is 65 years old today. Actress Megan Mullally is 52. Someone wrote me demanding a bell for Megan Mullally.
No.
Yeah, look, for 52, she might be bell-worthy.
But she's an attractive girl.
Yeah.
No.
Bell?
No,
yeah,
she's on the plane to Oslo. Sorry, no bell.
Wow. Put in the file with extreme prejudice.
Tevin Campbell's 34. Ryan Gosling is 30. Anne Hathaway celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Stick around, by the way, if you're a fan of the Oakland Raiders. And who isn't these days, as they're the hottest team in the NFL, by the way?
You?
We got a story. Well, maybe me. Yeah. Got a story that you're going to love coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, time for the Kevin Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
All right, I want to squeeze this one in real fast. We had something else planned, but I just saw this story about a man in Kentucky who he and his brother had a lawnmower for sale. Two guys show up to buy it. Now, the details are very sketchy in this article, but apparently everybody involved in the story was drunk, as so many of the Kentucky citizens of the day are. And apparently the offer that was made for the lawnmower was insulting.
Okay.
And apparently a fight broke out because somebody thought somebody was trying to take advantage of somebody by paying too little for the used lawnmower.
Wait a minute. If you own the lawnmower, can't you just say no?
Yes, but apparently
he insulted him.
Apparently, yes. Apparently, it's turned into an honor fight because that's not even a reasonable offer. Look, I paid $250 for it. You're offering me $20. You know, get out of my house. That's that kind of a thing, right? So everybody involved is drunk, and they are in Kentucky, you know, not to insult that great state. But a knife is pulled, as happens.
Right.
And a knife is held up to the throat of the guy who's selling the lawnmower. And at this point, the people who showed up to buy the lawnmower cut the man's beard off of him
and forced him at knife point to eat it.
To eat his own beard?
What are you talking about?
His own beard.
Why would anyone do that?
God. Because there was a knife and they threatened to kill him if he did not eat the beard.
I'm serious. Eat your beard. What sense does that make?
For those tuning in, not a euphemism. We're actually talking about eating the man's beard. So, needless to say, that lawnmower did not get purchased that day. But wow. the guy did call the police after they left and they were arrested. And I guess they're sentencing this week. So the story is back in the news. But can you imagine at knife point being forced to shave your beard off and then eat it?
No, but I want to party with that guy.
Your story is a beautiful story.
Thank you.
From my point of view, it's a beautiful story. I love your story.
I'm glad you did. Well, you're going to love this one even more because this is my favorite story maybe of 2010. This one comes from a small town in South Carolina. Authorities responded after a resident complained of a burglar. Deputies showed up. They found the man. He hadn't gotten far. Apparently, he was lying face down and naked inside the doorway of the victim's home. So he didn't even get out of the house that he was there to rob.
But wait, he was naked? He was robbing the house naked?
I don't know. I don't know if he was robbing it naked or somehow on his way out, he decided he got confused. Who knows? The guy was apparently on mushrooms or something like that. But when the police showed up, they found out that they saw him laying in the doorway and he was naked. 24-year-old man named Noah Smith. So the deputy rouses him, tries to make contact with him, get the guy to stand up. The guy starts swinging.
Okay.
Deputy pulls out his taser, starts tasing the guy, has no effect. And by the way, maybe Omar should be in here to tell us what happens. If you're on the right kind of drugs, man, you're feeling no pain, right?
But with a taser, it paralyzes you.
And I'm saying definitely not mushrooms because I've gotten in a fight on mushrooms and it's the worst. It amplifies pain. Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh.
Well, by this point, police have reinforcements. They showed up. They have they approached Noah Smith again. At this point, by the way, he's running through the house, and now he's in the victim's bedroom. So you can imagine what a crazy scene this was. They try to handcuff him, and the guy is able to escape from them and start kicking at the police officers. So the police officers pull out their police baton and start beating the guy to try to get him. So they're beating the guy. He manages to turn and bite one of the officers. So
a rabid dog? What is this guy?
They grab a blanket and throw it over his head so that he is able, so that he can't bite anymore and eventually are able to hogtie him and put him in shackles.
Okay.
So now they call the paramedics and they go, look, we've already tased the guy. We've already batoned the guy. We've already done everything we can with this guy. He's still struggling. We've got him tied up. They call the EMT. The EMT guys come and they take him to the hospital. When they get to the hospital, so far, by the way, it's just an average Saturday night in South Carolina.
Sure. This happens all the time.
It's where they get to the hospital that this turns into the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day. During a medical exam at the hospital, personnel found a mouse tail hanging from the man's rectum.
No. I just say no.
Nope.
An X-ray, didn't happen.
An X-ray revealed that a mouse was lodged inside the man, who told emergency room personnel that he couldn't really remember what had happened to him.
Oh, God.
What a cocktail he must have
had. So he was naked in somebody else's house with a mouse.
Yes.
And then was he fighting off the police because he didn't want to have to admit there was a mouse in there? Or did he not know?
Oh, I have many questions. Look, screw LeBron James. I want a primetime hour-long special talking to this guy.
This is
the story that I want more details about. But good times, and that guy definitely deserves to be the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7.
Oh, come on.
Here we go.
It's the last break of the last show of the week. You can't wait to eat until we get off the air?
It's 9:38.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, why don't you just go into the corner and finish your meal, and us grown-ups will do a radio show.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Don't give him that offer. Oh, he's taking it. He's taking it up for the offer. There you go.
See ya. Have a good weekend, Kevin. Bye. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on?
Well, Forbes has released their list of the most successful female celebrities today. Some of the answers are surprising.
Hey, what's going on over here, Ralph?
Kevin, get away from me. Go finish your meal. Some of the women on the top 10 list are surprising. Others, not so much.
Snooki. All I ask is no Snooki.
Well, you'll be happy to know there is no Snooki on the list.
Oh, thank God.
But this is their annual list of Hollywood's top 10 female showbiz earners.
No.
Pam Anderson is not on the list either. Listen, help or just go. Really, those are your options, Kevin.
Damn. Noodle potted bus.
There's a tie between number 9 and 10. They both made $45 million this year.
It's Pam Anderson?
Not Pam Anderson. It's Taylor Swift and Judge Judy.
No. Judge Judy?
Judge Judy made $45 million
this
year.
Oh, my God.
Not a penny of it spent on a new hairstyle, by the way. She's wearing the same hair as she wore in 1968.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Taylor Swift also made $45 million. Number 8 on the list, Miley Cyrus made $48 million.
Wow.
Ellen DeGeneres and her popular TV talk show made her $55 million this year. I guess a certain amount of that is also her stand-up dates in Vegas and what have you. Sandra Bullock made $56 million. Spent some of that in buying a new child. She probably would have made more if she hadn't spent whatever she spent down in New Orleans. Madonna, $58 million this year. Number 5 on the list. Number 4 is Lady Gaga. $62 million she made.
In her lifetime?
That's this year. That buys a lot of meat.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? She got a whole closet full of meat.
I think I know what you're saying.
I'm saying she could wear meat every day of the week. Like rare meat, too.
She could.
Like human. She could wear human steaks.
You think she does?
She wouldn't have a dress. Who knows what that meat was she had on that dress?
You know, Ralph Garman?
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. What's up, Gene Simmons?
You mentioned putting meat into a closet.
Yes.
Lisa Mays.
Yes.
Put meat into one of the... No, right.
I don't even know where you were going with that one, really.
I don't either, but I want to hear it.
Put meat into her closet?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, you go over to the corner and start eating with Kevin. We're still working, okay?
Britney Spears made $64 million this year and made her number 3 on the list. Then Beyonce Knowles, $87 million this year.
My
that's
God.
That's a leap.
Wow.
Even from third. But number 1 is just ridiculous. As usual, Oprah Winfrey tops the list of biggest earners for female celebrities with $315 million.
So number 2 is 87.
$87 million, Beyonce.
Number 1 is $315.
$315 million.
Wow. Well, I can see why she's walking away from that job.
She's been making that for 20 years.
That's
right.
Like a third of $1 billion. Right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
In 3
yes.
years, she could yes. make $1 billion.
Yes.
Yeah. If she worked for 3
every
years.
3 years.
Every 3 years,
yes.
she makes $1 billion. That's something
a lot.
Else. That is a lot of something.
I'm so fat.
A lot of food.
Rick Fox.
Yes.
May have struggled on Dancing with the Stars, but he has been lucky in love. He's got the perfect girlfriend, he claims, in Eliza Dushku.
Bam Anderson.
They're dating or not. I was watching, I wasn't watching, I was flipping through the channels and Dancing with the Stars came up, and I saw
uh-huh.
he was being booted off. No, I was going to watch whatever came up next.
Flipping,
I don't know what it was. It was the end of the show, and they booted Rick Fox off, and they cut to the audience, and there's Eliza Dushku clapping. I was like, what the hell is Eliza Dushku doing?
Oh,
in
yeah.
the audience. And my wife says, oh, they're dating. They're going out. I was like, what?
They go to Laker games all the time. Yeah.
Us Weekly Magazine says they're very much in love. Rick is crazy about her, and who wouldn't be? And especially fond of Eliza is his 15-year-old son, Kyle.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
How
here
would you like to be Kyle? With her potentially looming as your stepmother on the horizon.
Oh.
No word about 10-year-old daughter, Sasha, but... Kyle, the 15-year-old boy, he seems to be especially pleased with the arrangements.
Wow.
Glad to know she's getting along with the kids.
Please, Dad, please, Dad, please, Dad, please, Dad.
Move her in.
Take it out of my room.
And David Bowie's in the news. Apparently his supermodel wife, Iman, was doing an interview, and she said, don't expect any new music from Bowie anytime soon. He's been on a musical hiatus for the last 7 years. His last album was Reality in 2003. One of the best reviews albums of his career. The last performance was in 2006. He did a number at Alicia Keys' Black Ball charity concert. Why the ball got to be black? That's what I want to know.
He's not very busy.
I would not make him do it, Iman says, because we love him so much and we want him to stay at home. It's really up to him. But he's got a lot of other things that he does. He's a writer and a painter. He also does sculpture. He's a dad to our 10-year-old daughter. His life is very full. So he'll decide to come back to music when he wants to come back. But he may not have time. He is very, very busy. Now, it's so funny because she mentioned this in the article. And then just today on his website, he released some new music. Apparently, he's got a new single that he put together just for fans, I guess. But it's on his website.
Well, she just said he didn't do
it. I know.
It.
He said he was too busy to do music. But then he releases this. Here's a little taste.
I'm always really busy. I'm always really busy.
Bam Anderson.
I'm really very busy. I'm extra special busy.
I guess she's right. I guess he is.
I'm always really
busy.
Seems to be very busy.
He's too busy.
I stay very busy.
Too busy to make new music, I guess.
I'm always really busy.
Not too busy for the song.
Very, very, very busy. I'm always very busy. Every day I'm very busy.
I don't get what he's saying.
I'm always very busy. I keep myself real busy. I'm always very busy.
Not a lot of
busy.
Guys with free time on his hands.
I'm always very busy.
How about a shorter song?
I'm always very busy.
His schedule is packed.
Every day I'm very busy.
Seems like he's got a
lots
lot of
things keep me busy.
Yeah, all right.
I'm always very busy. So full my schedule's busy. I'm always very busy. Busy, 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 busy.
I'm not getting a second.
I'm always very busy. Okay. I'm extra special busy.
We got
a lot going on.
I'm stealing the idea that a listener sent me, and that is to use that as my ringback tone.
So when you don't answer, it's yeah. because you're really, really busy.
It's going to be that song.
I love that.
Yeah, clever idea. And Jessica Simpson apparently is not crying over Nick Lachey's engagement to Vanessa Minnillo.
Well, they were together 17,000 years ago, Ralph.
She did a... Well, they were married, though, and she's been desperate to be married since they broke up.
Yeah,
she's had several high-profile boyfriends dump her when she thought they were very much in love, so...
Boobs.
People were assuming it might sting a little bit that...
Yeah.
That Nick was getting married before her, and he's found someone special. She's sort of still out there looking.
He didn't seem as desperate as she did.
No, he didn't.
And he upgraded, like, by 1,000%, too.
Yeah. She did an interview recently where she said some extremely kind words to her ex-husband and his fiancé. Jessica said she's extremely, extremely happy for Nick and wants everyone to celebrate Nick's love with Vanessa, which is very sweet. She shortly added, then, could you please pass me that pizza? I don't even know what that means, but apparently she's drowning her sorrows in pepperoni. Which,
oh.
you know, makes sense. Hey, Gene Simmons.
Gene is back.
I'm so fat.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Neil Young is 65 years old today.
He's not a good singer, right?
I've been searching for a cake of gold.
He is a good singer.
No, he's not.
Have classically a great voice, but he is a very right. expressive singer, and his kind of singing is appropriate for the kind of music that he writes, songs that he sings. It's a good
That's
fit.
That's dumb.
Hey, I have one of his songs.
Hey,
let's vote. Let's vote. I think he's perfectly fine on that song. I have no problem.
It's a hit. I'm gonna go get it.
I mean, 65 years old. I think he sounds good.
Yeah. I'm saying maybe his best days are behind him.
Got a new single out called Prostates Never Sleep. You can pick that up.
Want to hear it?
Yeah. Megan Mullally is 52 years old today. Tevin Campbell's 34. Ryan Gosling is 30. Anne Hathaway celebrates her 28th birthday today. Have a good weekend, everyone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show Biz Beat.
All right, thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have an all-new program. We have a couple of things you might want to tune in for.
Couple.
We have comedian Greg Fitzsimmons in the studio.
Oh,
we're going to announce Miss Double December, give you all the details on that.
Yes.
We have Michael Ian Black in studio.
What?
And we're going to tell you about night number one of our little Christmas show. K-Rock's Almost Took Us to Christmas. Details on that on Monday as well. Stop making that noise.
Are you having a seizure, Ralph? What's going on?
I'm so hoping for Archers of Loaf this year.
Oh. Remember how much trouble we got for saying that one time? All right, let's sing the song and go to the weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You need to go to Riddlewind.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Roll
are douchebags and I hate them all.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
San Angelo, Texas, hello.
I need another hit.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Want me, want me, want me, Hooper.
Roll,
roll,
roll, roll. Another one.
We are on the air.
Just like the other one.
How dare you?
This one seems to be about.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
I don't have another sin.
Suck my video games.
I'm not Ben Affleck.
Your wife, then you Ben Affleck.
But I don't want to guard that joint.
West.
Just passing around.
How could I have been so stupid?
But I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
I'm not sure what it means.
Just passing.
What's my cue? You know what? It doesn't matter. I don't know my lines. Cut!
And that's how Sue sees it.
You just like to hit it and quit it, huh? That's how you roll?
How did you all feel when you knew the show was coming to an end?
I think we all had the same reaction, you know, which was, thank God.
Good night. Same bat time, same bat channel. Can you see any way out?